TheTimeRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
This is your favorite TNA knockout, Tara.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening on The Rock with God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the Wrestling Radio Awards Best New Show, The Rack.
We're not acting like we're in second grade. We are working through our anger issues. You see, Kane and I, we used to be a lot like you. But thanks to Dr. Shelby, we're in a better place now. And not only that, we are champions. You do want to be a champion again.
Yes.
Don't you, Andy?
Yes, I do. And after I win the Royal Rumble match, I...
Wait. First, we win our tag match, and then... Group hug!
Giving you unique insights into the world of professional wrestling in WWE and TNA.
Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian.
The
tag team champions.
No, world tag team champions of the world.
It's not redundant.
We're two planets worth of great. We've established this time and time again. World Tag Team Champions of the World. Hashtag it, everybody. You'll see.
The first time you hear it, you think you made a mistake.
Intelligent people know better. That's all I have to say on that. And it's whichever like two worlds you want to choose, it's up to you.
Like, yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Even Pluto counts, even though it's not a planet anymore, despite the fact they found another moon.
But it is still a dog.
It is.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh, my God, it's Taker. Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh, my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
If you smell la 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 la, what the sock is cooking?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sorry about your damn luck.
Welcome to The Rack, right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, MemLanePromo.com. Check it out for all your memorabilia needs. And yes, tonight is going to be one of those nights where we just get up in everybody's Kool-Aid. I am, of course, your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me, as always, is my producer, Sir Rockin'.
Oh, yeah, and you know why I played that song, right?
Oh, I totally know why you play that song, and I hate you for it. And joining us also is the awesome individual, the man, the myth, the legend, the Mace.
You must be talking about somebody else, because that sure as hell ain't me.
Sure it is. I can't
call. No, I'm the handcuffed, the zip-lipped, the everything else tonight, sir.
You are not.
Yeah, at least I have my voice back.
Yes, at least you can talk, which means, you know, maybe you can actually play cards with us on Saturday.
Possibly.
Possibly, okay.
But then again, I play better when I have no voice for cards.
Three in a row, bitches.
We're playing with a special deck Saturday, just pointing that out.
We are playing with special decks. For those of you that don't know what we are talking about our Saturday night ritual playing Cards Against Humanity right here on WildTalkRadio.com, where we all get together, we have a little fun, we blow off a little steam, and we do some very wrong things with a pack of cards.
Yeah, and Mace, it's because a certain person got a certain thing, so we should play that certain deck just for the hell of it because of that certain thing.
Yeah.
I'm scared.
Along with a certain other
deck that has to do with furries.
That one. By the way, we are live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, PW Mania. Memeline promo TNA Asylum. Hi, folks.
Yes, and I was getting to all of that.
I know. I'm throwing it out there. I'm just throwing it out there. RackRadioShow.com. Hopefully, everyone's listening there too. Check it out. Check out all of our fine websites right here at WildTalkRadio.com.
Yes, and as you can tell, we have a lot to get into tonight. We have tons of news. We have some pretty fun discussions. We're going to talk about Total Divas. And, of course, we have to get into tonight's Impact. Who was the August 1 person? Were you right? Were you wrong? Or was it just Harvey the Rabbit? That was my guess.
I think Lindsay was right with Harvey the Rabbit. Just pointing that out.
Yeah, it's totally Harvey the Rabbit. But before we get into all of that, we have our question of the night.
Our question of the night goes as follows. What is your favorite wrestler victory celebration? Simple. Simple and fun. That's the way we like to do it on the show.
So, I can't wait to hear the answers to that one, but I said we jump right into the news.
All right, there's a lot of news, and it begs the question, where should we begin?
I think we need to start with the biggest story of the week.
Okay, and what's that?
Well, Randy Orton seemed to have a little bit of an incident in South Africa.
A little incident?
Just a little one, yeah. And this one is actually not one of his own making, believe it or not. They were at a live event. Orton was in the, I believe it was post-match celebration.
He defeated Big E out in South Africa, celebrating his victory, and, well, things got a little bit interesting.
Things did get a little bit interesting because, well, as it turns out, I have a flashy and I can't figure out where my flashy is. Damn it. I'll figure it out in a minute. Anyway, as things turn out, somebody decided to go out there and make a name for themselves. A local South African wrestler who worked originally in Johannesburg, quit his job, drove to Cape Town, and decided he was going to jump the wall, climb the ring, and basically uppercut Randy Orton right in his thing.
Oh, hey, he wanted to go after his thing.
He totally wanted to go after his thing, and this has been a kind of an interesting
story. He wanted to tickle the twins.
He did, and by God, he tickled Randy Orton's twins. Nice and hard.
Just the way he likes it.
Just the way he likes it. But, yeah, this has actually kind of been a funny, interesting story to follow, because it was when it originally happened, nobody knew what was going on. Everybody thought it was a work. There was rumors that it was Leo Kruger from NXT. There were rumors that it was somebody they were bringing in. It was a random fan. Nobody really knew what was going on. And then the details started to come out, and they actually talked to the guy who committed the crime. And basically, he admitted that he had premeditated this, including quitting his job, because basically, well, he wanted to make a name for himself, which, by God, he did do. But I don't think it resulted in what he wanted, which I guess was a job with WWE, because, well, instead, he ended up going to jail and is possibly facing charges from Randy Orton for the attack.
Josie the Wrestling Machine, that is what he calls himself. And I quote, "I just don't like Randy Orton. This was an opportunity for me, so I got up there and made a name for myself." Oh, Josie the Wrestling Machine. You're an idiot.
Yeah, I mean, come on. You know, I guess you want to make a name for yourself, but that's probably not the smartest thing to do, is to go after Randy Orton, especially since, isn't it, and Mace, I require your expert input as having been in the ring, isn't it kind of fair game once a fan climbs in the ring, especially if they throw a punch or they throw something at you?
The second your foot hits the floor after you go over the railing, you are dead meat. Basically, any wrestler, and Savage used to be the best at doing this back in the day, the second a fan got in the ring, the wrestler turns around and goes, lunch, and just destroys them. And it's always been a rule in wrestling, the second a fan comes over the railing, they're fair game, and go for it.
Yeah, and well, to be fair, Orton did get his shots in.
He tried. He got a couple in before the security took him away.
He got a nice boot into the guy's eye.
Yeah, he did.
And as we could tell, Randy Orton does wear a cup.
Yes, he does. He wears protection. Which we're really not surprised about, but yeah, so next time Randy Orton takes a low blow, we know it's fake.
Wait, what? No, it's not fake. No.
It's kayfabed.
Kayfabed.
Fair enough. But yeah, so this is, and like I said, this has been a really kind of fascinating story to follow. I'm sure there is more to come with this. It's not done. Not by a long shot. That's why I'm kind of eager to follow it. Of course it could be done too. We don't know.
Well, the guy did his little video that he's posted up on YouTube explaining himself, and to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if, to be honest, this is probably the end of it. Because everybody's going to go, well, who cares about you now, bye.
Yeah, they got... The sports world has bigger fish to fry right now.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the cowboy choking on a Jolly Rancher. I had to go there.
I'm so proud.
I'm
interested in this story. Please explain.
So there was this... The Cowboys player missed practice because he bit into a Jolly Rancher and had to get a root canal. Only a Cowboys player would get, you know, bite into a Jolly Rancher to miss practice. It's all kinds of special.
Oh, that is definitely all kinds of special. All right.
So there's your sports news for the week, Kinkins. There you go. And he hates us all so very much. Well, that's the price you pay for being a Cowboys fan. Just point that out.
Bets on the next related injury is Laffy Taffy.
I think that's a good chance. Sure won't be that ring pop.
Nope. You gotta win something to get the ring.
There you go.
Anyway, moving on. Speaking, I guess, of winning.
Winning. Okay.
Because I don't really have a good transition for this. Speaking of, and also the international tour, nice little tie-in there. Drew McIntyre did not go on the international tour this year, mainly because, well, he's in the process of becoming legal. He sent out a tweet earlier this week saying, you know, apologizing to everybody as to why he wasn't there, because apparently people were demanding to know where he was, and he said that WWE is in the process of helping him finalize his green card status. And so, because when you're in the process of that, obviously you can't leave the country. So he is right now either legal or becoming legal, so go Drew, and WWE is vouching for him, so...
So you've been stalking an illegal man for all this time?
Well, technically he was legal. He had a visa.
Technicalities. Can't stalk until they're legal.
Sure you can.
No, you can't. It's a crime.
No, it's only a crime when she crosses international waters.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, when she stalks him into Canada, then we got trouble.
Yeah, if I go across the border to stalk, then we got problems.
Okay.
But if I do it while they're on U.S. soil, it's totally fine.
Okay, just making sure. We need to get that clarified, just for the bail money purposes.
Quick, well, somebody call up Joseph Fox.
Who needs bail money? I could pay 95 cents and go on peoplesearch.com.
Anyway, kayfabe.
Kayfabe, yeah. We're not going there at all.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of...
Speaking of a taker, the other big news that actually broke officially today, broke yesterday technically when it got leaked, is that WWE 2K14 will have a special edition, and similar to the one that was Austin last year, this year we are getting an Undertaker version.
It is the Phenom edition, and it comes with a bunch of different things, including an exclusive tin coffin box, a collectible art card personally hand-signed by The Undertaker, exclusive Undertaker American Badass playable character, which... The screenshots look pretty good. Theme controller skin. The Undertaker The Streak disc number 1 for your Blu-ray or DVD. Access to the global pre-order offer for The Ultimate Warrior. And, of course, the game. which is awesome, and then you hear the price. And this price kind of made me scratch my head. It's $100.
Yeah, this was when this broke yesterday. Everybody and their brother sent it to me because, of course, you know, I'm me being the Undertaker fangirl. And I told Rock last night, you know, it's like I'm halfway still considering buying it even after hearing the price today. But it's like, of course they're not releasing it on the Wii. Of course they're not. It's the only coming out on the 360 and the PS3 because, you know, that's just my luck. But it's like, okay, well, you know, worst case scenario, I could probably buy it on the 360 and then I could get a 360 when the Xbox One comes out and the price drops on them.
Right. But like I said, I thought, oh, it's going to be the same price as last year, $80. This year it's $100. It's a lot of money and honestly, for all the stuff offering, it's not worth it. Go ahead, Mason.
I'll agree with it. It's not worth it. The reason for the price increase you'll find more than likely is the fact of the specially made custom box.
Oh, I know, yeah. But they had the same similar thing for Austin last year, didn't they?
No, I don't think they did.
No, Austin's was, and I can tell you straight off because I still have mine. If I can, like, try and poke around the dark and find out where I put it.
But I knew they gave you something.
The Austin one was just a standard... It was a standard case, came with a disc inside, and the card itself was... It was all in the case.
Right.
It was just a change of cover, whereas this one, they're producing a whole, specialized tin plate case or whatever it is for it.
Case for it, but a $40 increase seems like a lot.
Well, you know what?
When $100 becomes standard, then you can fucking complain.
I can complain now because it's $100 for nothing really extra.
Congratulations, my normal edition's going to cost me $90.
Well, that's Australia prices.
Okay, well, before we get into this dick measuring contest, you can also say that you're paying for the autograph, too. You're paying for the autograph, you're paying for the DVD.
But the DVD is $20 on its own, but that's if you have all three discs. This is just one disc.
Still, you're paying...
I could buy the excuses for the autograph, because think about it. Out of these, it's going to be one of those limited run of, say, I don't know, probably a couple of thousand units.
100. I would say like 100,000, probably. 10,000, yeah. 50,000, something like that.
Now, think about it. Hand signing those with the Undertaker's wrists and body the way he is.
The only thing healthy on him is his wrist. But if you think about
that's,
it,
that's a lot of medicine he needs to put into that wrist to sign that many autographs.
But if you think about it, that's the only body part that's probably healthy.
Yeah, I don't know. Possibly. Kind of question.
I don't know.
Compared to everything else on his body.
But yeah, I understand. You know, you guys aren't happy about the price increase. To be honest, that edition is probably going to go for about $110 here. Which is slightly above what you guys are paying, but with these special editions, especially with something that requires a custom-made tin case such as this, the price increase not overly justified, but you can understand why they put the price up.
I can understand it. Doesn't mean I'm going to agree with it. It's just a bigger jump. I could see if it went up $30, not $40. That's all.
Yeah, when we were talking about it last night, we figured it was going to go for around 80, and it was like, you know, well, I can kind of almost in my head justify paying $80 for it. $100 is a little bit more steep, and that's why it's like I'm considering buying it, but I'm not considering buying it just at the same time. So it's like I got to think about it a little bit more.
Okay. With this, I can tell you now, especially at the price that they're putting it out for, it's not going to move quickly. You will still be able to find these 6 months down the track.
Oh, I have no doubt.
So it's if you're wanting this edition purely for the collector's bits and pieces, you know, the autographs, DVD, etc., then wait for it to drop.
I don't know. Like have you met a an Undertaker fangirl? Have you met one?
Yeah, dude, This got leaked, and it was on the Undertaker, the official Undertaker fan site, within 20 minutes. I mean, it's like, and I had people sending it to me almost right as it came out. Like, I know Kane couldn't send it to me. Rock sent it to me. My friend Sherry sent it to me. I have had people sending it to me over the past 2 days as the announcement's been released. So it's like there's going to be a lot of buzz about this one, just because of also the way that they're packaging it, what you're getting the autograph, because I think the main thing is going to be the autograph because it's so rare to get it now.
Right, and if you look at an Undertaker fangirl, they're going to, oh, we'll buy the game and stuff and then probably resell the game.
Yeah, I mean, worst case scenario, Rock and I were talking about it last night. It's like, well, you get the download. So you download the character of the American Badass, and, well, the Ultimate Warrior doesn't do anything for me. But basically, you get a DLC item with it, so you could potentially turn around and sell the game. And also sell the DLC, if you want. But that's up to you.
The DLC will come out at the end of the cycle, as it always does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got Austin for 99 cents.
Yeah.
instead of spending the extra $20, I spent 99 cents. That was
exactly
worth it.
But yeah, I suppose you might have to just suck it up if you want it just for the autograph. But in all, looking at the entire set, I agree with Rock. It's not worth it.
Oh, and that's why I'm kind of waffling on it. It's like, okay, you know, if it were $80, I would think about it, but if it's $100, it's like, I don't know, because it's something of, again, I have to buy the game, which means I have to buy a whole new system, because for those of you that don't know, I'm not a gamer person at all. I have a Wii. I like my Wii. And so it's...
And it's, clip.
I do! I'm sorry, I like it. It's fun to play. I'm not a hardcore gamer person at all. So it's like... It's like, okay, you know, I don't want to have to pay. It's like $80, all right, I can consider buying the game and holding on to the game with the potential that I would buy a 360. But to pay $100 for the game with all the accessories and then to have to buy a 360 on top of it, it's just that extra $20. It's like, I don't know, it doesn't seem worth it to me, so we'll just have to see. It's cool. It's definitely cool. I'm not going to lie. I don't want to disparage it at all. But yeah, this just... The price is like... Eh?
It makes you think twice. Basically.
Yeah, it's kind of, and I kind of agree with Mace. This is... Depending on how many they produce, you're probably going to be able to find it later down the line.
Worst case scenario,
if you just want to buy it for the autograph... Those autograph cards are going to show up on eBay.
Unless it's only for pre-order, which I'm not 100% sure. It might just be for pre-orders. Because I think that's what Austin was last year. I think it was just a pre-order thing.
Yeah, Austin's last year was pre-order only.
So I would guess this is as well.
Probably, yeah. So, but we'll see what they do as the game gets closer to coming out, because it doesn't come out till October.
Yeah, end of October. But speaking of buying things, Lindsay, there's other things you can buy.
Oh, like what?
You know, like the white family sheep mask.
Oh my gosh.
Now available on WWEshop.com, the Wyatt family sheep mask for only $8. You can now follow the buzzards with your own Wyatt family sheep mask. As a subdescription says.
I kind of can't wait to see these start popping up in the crowd.
Oh, wait till Monday. They'll be there.
Because I find this awesome that they have marketed these, but I find this hilarious because they're getting wrestling fans to dress up as sheep.
I know. It's like, ironic. Wrestling fans are sheep. Who knew?
A nice message, you know.
This public service message brought to you by WWE.
Pretty much.
So yeah, get your sheet mask now and fill the crowds.
Woohoo! And you know where you could take your sheet mask?
Where?
To the new October pay-per-view Battleground.
Yeah, there's a new battle. It's called Battleground. It's no longer Over the Limit. They changed the name over the past week or so to Battleground, with everyone going, oh my god, it's going to be the return of War Games, or the debut of War Games in WWE. No, it's not, because 2 weeks later is Hell in a Cell.
Right.
Sorry to break everyone, burst everyone's bubble, it's not going to be the return of War Games. Sorry, not happening. That's a pipe dream for a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sorry. Is Hell in a Cell really 2 weeks away from Battleground?
Hell in a Cell? Yeah. It's 2 or 3 weeks, something like that.
Good lord.
They're doing the 2 in October type deal.
Why? Why are you...
I don't know. Basically, it's going to be, what, the 3 and 6 or 7 weeks, possibly. So... we'll see what happens. But yeah, Battleground is a new event. And we'll go from there.
Yeah, we'll go from there. We'll see how it goes.
But staying on WWE tomorrow, not tomorrow, Saturday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, on NBC, it's WrestleMania, the world television premiere. You get to watch The Rock and John Cena one more time, plus new exclusive, never-before-seen footage from WrestleMania.
Interesting.
So check it out, WrestleMania, the world television premiere this Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern on NBC.
Woohoo! Well, now I say we transition a little bit. We transition out of WWE land and into some TNA talk.
Okay, what's going on in the TNA land?
Well, in the TA land, there's kind of some more fodder for people to, well, enjoy, or not enjoy, depending on your perspective of it, but news came out this week that TNA is canceling their events in Washington and Oregon. There is no indication of whether they're actually going to be rescheduled or not. I would bet probably not, but that is not, that's more bad news that they're canceling events, but they may have moved them to other venues that are a little bit easier for them to get to and possibly less expensive for them to get to.
It was probably low ticket sales, and the Northwest has never been a strong market for them.
No, it hasn't.
So, and that's probably the reason for it. So, you know, they cancel some shows. Not the end of the world. WWE has done it often as well.
Right. So, but it's just, it's kind of more fuel on that fire. Because, yeah, you know, people are like, oh my god, they're canceling events.
Yeah, well, the more fuel on the fire is asked Dixie what she actually responded to on ImpactWrestling.com. That was special.
Oh, yeah, that was, wow.
Yeah, she answered MMA questions, basically. Yeah.
Oh no, Dixie, no, honey, no. Mm-hmm.
It was not the first smart move she's made. But, at the end of the day, she tried. So we'll see what happens when she answers some more questions next week.
Well, sadly, thinking about that hashtag and how everybody was being such a jerk to her, those were probably some of the only legit questions they could find.
So, and they weren't even questions. Like, the first one was a statement about all the criticism. They tried. TNA tried.
They tried. They tried really hard, and bless them for trying, but mm-hmm. Dang.
Yeah.
You know, they could have at least made up questions, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, they would have been better off doing that.
Anyway, speaking of speculation and those kinds of things, Jeff Jarrett had a meeting this week.
Did he now?
Yes, we had a rare sighting of Double J. There was a picture on his Twitter of him meeting with the one, the only, the legend, the Great Muta.
Yeah, there was talk about him and Muta coming together to form some sort of relationship to bring some Japan talent into TNA. We'll see how that progresses. But kind of cool seeing the two of them meet up in the picture. And good to see Jeff Jarrett a little bit more involved with the company.
Right.
Because he was backstage at the tapings last time around, doing some meetings now. It's good to see him back with the company a little bit.
Exactly. Because, you know, he's kind of been pushed to the background or on hiatus or whatever. So it's good to see Double J coming back in the company and having a little bit more involvement in the company. Definitely. And then for the last topic, you wanted to talk about this, so I'll kind of let you take the lead.
Yeah.
But for the
go ahead.
But for those of you that don't know, Madison Rain actually either she wrote a blog, did she not?
Yeah, she wrote her own personal blog discussing a few different things about her release and what everyone's been saying, you know, how she left the company on her own terms and, you know, that sort of thing. I have a couple quotes I want to read about it, because a lot of people are saying, oh my god, how dare they fire her when she's pregnant and that sort of thing. She goes, I was not released from my contract on bad terms, with any ill feelings, or with the slightest bit of regret for giving everything I had to Impact Wrestling for 4.5 years. I've had what seemed like an endless number of tweets lately telling me that I need to go wrestle elsewhere, and people cannot believe I got fired because I was pregnant. She went on to say, y'all, as much as I appreciate the support and the fact that people were affected enough by my release to generate some sort of emotion, please don't stress over it. I'm surely not. As cliche as it may sound, if I am meant to be back in wrestling in a wrestling ring on television, God will put me back there. And I have this overwhelming feeling that he will. But for right now, I'm so excited and looking forward to being a mommy and bringing the next generation of Queen Bee into the world. She went on to say, as far as Dixie goes, that passport I mentioned, all those trips around the world, the chance to frisk Earl Hebner, was all because of her. Bosses are always the easy target when something is less than perfect. That's business. But at the end of the day, she gave the green light to every face you see on the Impact roster. That's something I think everyone should thank her for, because the roster kicks ass. I still touch base with Dixie often, and I send baby bump updates to her in the middle of the day. And not one time have I gone without a response. So there you go. She's okay with being let go. So that should kill all the speculation abound.
Right, and we mentioned this before, that when it initially happened that she's pregnant and that she was not fired, her contract expired. And I'm sure it was just something of when she's ready to come back, if they're able to bring her back, they probably will.
Right.
And if she wants to come back, I mean, it sounds like they were on perfectly amicable terms. So, you know, I don't know what the fuss is.
Yeah. So, we'll see what happens. But I just wanted to get that out there. Now we have other news. We have one other piece of business to get to, Lindsay.
Oh, we have a surprise piece of news. Okay.
It's not a surprise. I told you about it. Because today, it was the August 1st morning thing, and we've been hearing about it for months. August 1st, something big is going to happen. And, well, it did. It was the, you know, debut of CZW Episode 4, Part 1. From some guy named Matt Goldberg?
That's right. You know, that guy, that director guy, he directed, you know, Terrified and something with the Pope.
Pope Against All Odds,
and, you know, that kind of thing. And now he's released his latest video, which is CCW Episode 4, Part 1, in which we see the debut of the one, the only, the intellectual savior of the masses, Mr. I Can't Swim himself, Damian Sandow. And he is accompanied by many more superstars, plus the GM announcement for the main event, and much more.
And here's a little tidbit. You can see our shirt in the front row.
You totally can.
Like, when Damian Sandow speaks, there's our logo. It's yep. Amazing.
It's genius.
So go check it out. It's on the YouTubes, youtube.com/mbg1211. Check it out. The debut of CCW Episode Number 4, Part Number 1.
Yes, check it out. It's awesome. It's amazing. I don't know how he has the patience for it, but it is pure genius. Because if nothing else, it has Damian Sandow.
It has Damian Sandow. That's all you can, you know, possibly ask for. And there's a little bit of, I'll let you watch it. Go watch it for yourself. There's a lot of surprises in it, so go check it out. CCW Episode 4, Part Number 1. Part Number 2 should come in about, I don't know, a few weeks.
Something like that. He'll let us know.
Oh, it's not going to be a few weeks. It's going to be, like, you know, a long time. A few more months. He's, you know, he's such a procrastinator that it takes him forever to get one episode done.
Yeah, it does. But
I mean, you know, we expect more from you, Matt. Come on. Gotta bring more.
You know, pick up the tippo. Anyway, by the way, speaking of August 1 videos, if you haven't been following Adam Pierce on Twitter, on Facebook, go look at his Twitter or Facebook and go watch the video he put out for August 1. It's hilarious. Like, it is just pure genius and pure hilarity, and it is amazing.
So, yeah. Yeah, it was. It was a good video.
It made me disappoint. I was hoping it was him.
Well, I think we all were, but sadly, he was busy doing other things.
Right.
Other things, because that's the PG term.
Exactly, and because, Matt, cover your ears, because, you know, getting a sensitive topic.
Yes.
Anyway, so on that note, I think we should head to break.
I think we should totally head to break, and when we come back, we are going to be talking about tonight's Impact. What happened? Was August 1 revealed? Who was it? So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by MemLanePromo.com, and we will be right back.
Where I come from isn't all that great. My automobile is a piece of crap. My fashion sense is a little whack. And my friends are just as creepy as me. I didn't go to boarding schools. Preppy girls never looked at me. Why should they? I ain't nobody. Got nothing in my pocket. Bad boys be heroes. That's where I want to be.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cig. I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me. 8 fucking lanes. 8 motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather of the street dies. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking.
Fucking 8 lanes, the motherfucking highway!
Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking 3 lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 to my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7.
Fuck, it fucking better be open.
I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway.
They're not open.
What the fuck?
Are you sure you're not open?
Can I get a pack of Camel Light?
Hell yeah. Oh my god. Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. Yeah, I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
Steve,
man, somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. Get it? All right, I'll just smoke my cigarettes and be fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... I'm about to get wild by fucking 3 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
Wild Talk Radio presents How to Get Cheap Heat.
Well,
here we are in...
Town name.
And all I see are a bunch of...
Insulting terminology.
And by the way, aren't...
Rival sports team.
The greatest team in the world.
Cheap Heat Radio. Tune in and get told why you're wrong.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Red Spot. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise chain business.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW is pimping.
Hi, this is Christy Annie, TNA Knockout.
I'm out here because I have something very important that I need to say.
And you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Well, it's a do to say about it. They say it's new,
but I haven't got it. And welcome back to the Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's MemLanePromo.com. And before we jump into our TNA Impact Review, brought to you, of course, by our friends at TNAsylum.com. Hey, everybody listening to us over there, we forgot to mention one more piece of WWE merchandise. Yes, they have released standees of The Shield. If anybody would like to get me the Dean, I would very much greatly appreciate it.
All right, she's not talking about the standee. She's talking about the actual Dean.
I'll take the actual Dean, but if somebody wants to get me the standee too, I'm okay with that.
So there you go.
I mean, the actual Dean's a little bit harder to get because, you know, he's a moving target kind of thing.
Right, yeah, he knows how to move around and escape, you know, trouble.
Unless you give him lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of booze.
Then he's just there, laid back and ready to go.
Yep, totally. So, anyway, moving back into TNA and Impact, we have quite a bit to talk about tonight.
It was a newsworthy show.
That's right. We opened the show with Taz being refused into the... Ruby being refused entry into the arena. He yells at the Atlas security guys. He makes various threats. He's quite hot, quite angry. And then he finally says, well, you know, you guys are going to be out of a job. I'm going to take you out, and all it's going to take is one phone call. And then he proceeds to get on his phone as he storms off.
Yeah, Taz was mad. He had a mad thing. And, well, I kind of like pissed off Taz.
Pissed off Taz is kind of awesome.
It was fun to see. It was old school or vintage Taz.
Although it kind of, no offense to Taz, but it kind of reminded me of an angry little troll.
Well, if you look at Taz, well,
yeah,
just point that out. Taz, I'm Tim Stein in Calgary. If you want to beat someone up,
yeah, totally, Tim Stein, Calgary, Alberta, Canada, yeah. Canadian All Pro Wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, moving on.
Moving on. After this, we get the latest August 1st video saying we don't know when or how, as I put it, Harvey the Rabbit will show up, but he's going to show up tonight. Once we get the video, we cut back to the ring with A-Double making his way out. He takes the mic and asks if we can hear him, and if we know who he is, we then get an Austin Aries chant, and he says, good, they know his name.
Yeah, Austin's, do you know who I am?
Austin Aries. Good, you know my name.
Yeah, good to know. Good to know.
Austin says everything is focused on the World Heavyweight Championship right now. He reminds us that we are in the middle of the Bound for Glory series, and then he congratulates Saban on his win. But the congratulations also has a warning tied into it. Austin reminds Saban that, well, he's a marked man. Because everybody wants that title. Everybody, including him. And he says it's only fitting that Saban was the second guy to hand in the X title for the World Heavyweight Championship. As we all know, Austin was the first. And he says that, well, it will be even more fitting when Austin wins the Bound for Glory series and takes Saban's title from him. After this, Austin moves on to the dream match between himself and AJ Styles. He says it's the phenomenal one versus the common denominator of greatness. Doesn't quite have the ring of the best versus the beast, but okay, we'll take it.
We'll take it for what it is tonight.
Yeah. Austin says that AJ carried TNA for the last decade, and Austin promises to carry TNA on his back for the next decade. Of course, Bobby Roode takes exception to this, and that he just has to come out, which he does. He says he doesn't want to talk about dreams. No, he wants to talk about nightmares, namely the nightmare that he's been living in since he lost the title to Austin Aries at Destination X last year. Bobby tells us that he has had a crap year since he's lost the title, that he reminds us that he was the longest reigning champion, the leader of the Selfless Generation, and the it factor of professional wrestling. Damn it. But everybody seems to have forgotten that, even Bobby himself. So he's out there to remind himself of who he really is, of what got him to that title, and he promises to rechannel that energy and that aggression to get his World Heavyweight Championship back. And he says so that he's going to get his mojo back and he's going to win the Bound for Glory series. Austin wishes him all the best before saying that he hopes Bobby makes it to the final so Austin can beat him again.
The one thing he said in that promo was, you know, trying to find the old Bobby Roode, as it were. He concluded that it will be, he said, use the old tagline, it pays to be rude.
He did. To which that kind of got a mixed reaction from the crowd.
Because some of them were like, wait, was that his catchphrase? Yes, that was his catchphrase.
That was his catchphrase, people.
It was. And Austin replied back to him, you know, he calls himself the It Factor. Tonight he's the Spit Factor because he's been spitting all in his face the entire time.
Yeah, that was kind of awesome.
Spit Factor. Yeah. Well played, Austin Aries. Well played.
Well played. After this, we have Hernandez come out, which leads then into Bobby Roode versus Hernandez in a Bound for Glory series match. Bobby attacks Hernandez before the match even gets underway, and then they go to break. When we come back, they've managed to get in the ring. They have managed to start the match. It was a decent match to start.
Before we get into the match, I enjoyed the opening segment. You got the good hype for the main event tonight.
You did, which, of course, you know, it's like AJ versus Austin. AJ versus Austin. Sorry, just something else popped into my head for a second. It's like, ooh, that's going to be good.
And it was the match we voted for, the fans.
Yes, we the fans voted for this.
Mm-hmm. And apparently we also voted for Bobby Roode and Hernandez.
I think that was like one of the mixed lots. Like, you know, it's like you get a couple really good matches and then you get, yeah.
This. You get this one, yeah. So, this was a fine match. I hate that move where he takes the charge and dives over the rope.
Yeah, the Air Mexico, it's getting kind of old. It's like, it's nice when he does it every once in a while, but every match, it's like, I'm waiting for somebody to sidestep him.
Like Austin,
I'm seriously waiting for it.
Like Anderson did last week.
Yeah, like Anderson did it. It's like, Bobby just stood there and took it. It's like, it takes him so long to get to the ring, you would think somebody would either just sidestep him, or lay down, or something to where Hernandez just goes flying right by.
Right. So this match had its moment, and then, you know, Bobby Roode was getting frustrated, and he started throwing chairs into the ring. Referee said, no, you can't use chairs, you can't use chairs. So what does Bobby Roode do then, Lindsay?
Well, as the ref is clearing the chairs out of the ring, he rolls out one more time. He grabs something from underneath the ring, and it's a beer bottle.
Back how it all began.
Back how it all began. He's going back to his roots. Roode then rolls back in the ring, and while the ref is still distracted, he smacks Hernandez over the head with the beer bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And he picks up the 1, 2, 3, 4, 7 points. The best part of this was the aftermath. Because you have Brian Hefner like, where the hell did all this glass come from? And Bobby's looking around, and he's looking at the crowd, and then he looks up. And he just holds his hands up, and he's looking up to the sky. And it's like, it's a magical beer bottle that just, you know, levitated into the ring and smashed itself over Hernandez's head and took him out for me. It's like, it's amazing. But what did you think, Mace? Or did you... You were having stream problems. Did you get to see this?
I was having issues at this point.
Okay. I wasn't sure. Where did you come in?
At the end of this match.
Okay.
Whatever happened next.
Okay, gotcha. So backstage, we see the Mafia coming into the arena. We find out, you know, basically they say we'll find out about August 1 soon enough, and that they're going to make the Aces an offer they can't refuse.
An offer they can't refuse. Mafia 101.
Somebody's been watching The Godfather.
Mm-hmm. Now, Lindsay. Now. This is where we got some awesome.
Oh my god, this is hilarious.
And because... I know you took notes. I know.
I took notes, but I can seriously not do this justice. Please tell me we have audio of this.
We have audio.
Yes!
So take a listen to... Well... First, the happy married couple, and then, well, the new odd couple. Take a listen.
Oh, yeah, big night. I'm getting back in the ring. No more counting to three for me.
No way.
You're going to beat Gail Kim's little patootie. Oh, yeah.
Look, I can't be there. You know I want to be. Okay. I'm there in spirit. I got a full plate tonight.
We'll count to three.
Look what I'm dealing with.
Two, three, oh, yeah. Four.
Like,
in love with that.
Hey,
love ya.
Eric, I've been looking all over for you. I got the big match tonight, Bound for Glory series. Some of the boys have been saying work on some new moves. What's twerking?
Listen, don't listen to them. Listen to me. You trust me, right?
Well, yeah, I trust you.
Look, I've been doing some experiments, crunching the numbers. I actually shot off a rocket. This is what I figured out.
What?
You get hit in the head,
you
bleed, then you lose control. When you lose control, you lose matches.
Yeah, it's been a real problem, EY. I mean, I'm minus 10.
Yeah, you have no points. Negative points. It's a bad thing, but look it. I've got the answer. This is the first step to success. The first step to climbing back to the top of the mountain. You trust me, right?
I trust you, but what is it?
You're wearing that tonight. Come on, buddy. Let's do it.
What are you talking about? What's inside of it?
Don't worry.
Those two were tremendous.
This was nothing but pure genius. I love these two.
Yeah,
I have found something to fill the void that Team Hell No has left in my soul, and it is Eric Young and Joseph Park.
Eric Young, scientist. Eric Young.
He shot off a rocket. I love that he's just like, I even shot off a rocket for this.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that popped into my head is, oh, so he took the Mythbuster approach. Okay. All else fails, blow it up.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, Eric Young, scientist, now wrestling coach.
And manager.
I think he was also trying to work out the effects of gravity in the opening part of that segment.
That's science.
Exactly. He was doing gravity research. He was just watching his wife up and down, up and down.
Yeah.
Jiggle physics, I believe, is what it's called.
Yes. Very scientific field.
Yes, very scientific.
He's a scientist, wrestler, wrestling coach, manager, fisherman. What can't this man do?
Most epic beard on the planet. Although, we need to get his opinion on beer can curlers.
Yeah, I should tweet him that. I'll tweet him that tomorrow. Because, okay. Some dude put some beers in his beard. It was kind of epic.
It was. After this, though, we go elsewhere backstage where we have Saban talking to TJ Perkins / Manic. This was an interesting promo because basically they were there. It was a semi mutual exchange of respect. They both talked each other up. Perkins basically said that, you know, he'd been in this business as himself for 15 years and had really gotten nowhere, and then he put the Manic costume on and suddenly he was, you know, the face of the X Division, he's got the title, and, you know, this is the future of his career, basically. And we don't actually see Perkins' face, at least not until, I think, the end. So it's kind of, it was a very interesting promo where you're almost kind of detecting where possibly the Manic persona is maybe starting to take over.
A little bit.
And he's also trying to be Batman.
He's trying to be Batman. I want him to be Deadpool.
No, Eric Young would be closer to Deadpool than anything else.
Yeah, I can see that. But, so, yeah, and could we be hinting at a possible TJ Perkins / Manic heel turn?
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. I don't like the fact that they do promos with him without the mask. It kind of defeats the purpose of it. But at least they're explaining why he wears the mask, so that's a positive on that.
It is a positive, but it's kind of disrespectful to tradition, but that's neither here nor there. It's more of, who is he? Is he Manic or is he TJ Perkins? Or is he both? And I know they're trying to make him be both, but it's like you really need to make him one or the other.
Right.
You really do. So it's kind of like, you know, eventually, and I think that's what they're doing, is eventually I think the Manic persona is just going to take over and he's just going to become Manic, and that's who he's going to be.
Right.
And they're showing, that descent as into Manic. After this, we get a throwback to WCW, because a stretch Hummer pulls up.
Who is in the Hummer? Who is driving the Hummer? By God, we're out of time! Thank you, Tony Schiavone.
Thank you, Tony Schiavone, because when the Hummer pulled up, I was like, oh my God, it's a Hummer! Who's driving it?
Who is driving that Hummer?
And of course, we don't find out.
We will never know.
We will never know. Just like, who was driving the pickup truck for Aces and Eights? I need to know this.
These things will never, ever be answered.
The unsolved mysteries of wrestling. Mm-hmm. Who was driving the car? And did they do it for The Rock?
I did it for The Rock. I did it. For the people. And apparently Matt Goldberg was driving the car.
Oh, okay, Matt Goldberg was driving the car. Gotcha. But, of course, you know the Hummer is tied to the August 1 promo. Is it the guy? Is it the girl? Who is it? I guess we're going to have to watch to find out. And after this I didn't hear this whole promo, sadly, but basically it was a Jay Bradley promo where he's talking about his match with Joseph Park. Was there anything noteworthy?
No.
Okay.
He wants points. That's basically it.
Okay. Jay Bradley wants points. Got it. And after this, we get kind of one of the matches of the night, at least the comedy match of the night.
Comedy match of the night. Joseph Park, Jay Bradley in the Bound for Glory series with points on the line. And what was inside the bag that Eric Young had? Well, it was headgear. Yes. He has magical headgear now.
Genius.
So Joseph Park with Eric Young and his headgear takes on Jay Bradley. You know, Jay Bradley took control for a while. We even saw a submission move break out from Joseph Park, trying to get the 10 points, but was not to be. But Bradley took out advantage, took off the headgear, and well, he was ready to hit with the boomstick, but no. A follow-away slam was hit by Joseph Park, and Joseph Park got the win.
He got the big W, man. Now he's only -3.
Yeah, he got the big 7 points to become -3.
He's catching up, man. He's catching up.
He's slowly getting above the zero line. So good win for Joseph Park. Fun little
If he can win next week, and when they do their big points one for the very last week of it, Joseph can win that and then win the entire series.
They had their big points moment. They did a 24-point battle royal where
Magnus won.
Magnus won. Thank you.
That's why he's so far in the lead.
Yeah, he's like 70,000 points ahead of everyone else.
Yeah, Magnus could basically lose the rest of the series and still probably win.
Yeah.
It's going to be the only person that can potentially catch him, I think, at this stage is Joe.
And that would bring some interesting drama between those two main event Mafia members.
It certainly would. The match itself was just okay. It wasn't, I think, as tight as it could have been, but you've got... It's kind of understandable because you've got Joseph Park, who's not the best wrestler, against Jay Bradley, who's just at least kind of
Jay Bradley, who really isn't a good wrestler.
Yeah, it's like you kind of saw... It's like you have Joseph Park, who's played by Chris Park, who's actually a very good wrestler, taking on Jay Bradley, and it's like, you know, where it's like basically Bradley's flaws kind of got exposed. They went for a kick in the corner, and he missed, and it was just not a good...
He also tried a backbreaker that was... as well. He couldn't exactly pick up Joseph Park.
Yeah, so it was just the match itself was okay. They tried, and so points for trying. The aftermath of the match, though, was adorable.
Park was shocked. Eric Young celebrated. Yeah, that was some fun stuff.
They were jumping up and down. Joseph picked Eric up and carried him around the ring. It was just absolute adorableness. I want these two to have a sitcom. I so want them to have a sitcom. They need it. Because they were actually tweeting each other back and forth, too.
Oh, they've been tweeting. They've been doing it, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it's kind of genius. Anyway, after this, you've got backstage. Angle and Sting are meeting with the rest of the Mafia. Basically, they want to know if anybody has any info on the August 1 person. They all say no. Sting then celebrates their victory over Bully, to which, you know, everybody just kind of blankly looks at him like he's an idiot. And he apologizes. Then Angle says, you know, basically he needs to know if everybody is ready to take a max risk to get a max reward. They, you know, go one by one and say yes, 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 everybody's ready. And they're now prepared to make the Aces an offer that they can't refuse, to which Rampage adds at the end that he doesn't care what anybody says. He came there to fight.
Nice stuff. And at this point, I was like, I heard a lot of boos in Philadelphia because, well, the Phillies lost their game. Anyway. The new hashtag is Papo Blown. Anyway, continue. Yeah, it did happen. Papo Blown, yeah.
Wow, that's special.
Yeah. Get into that later.
Moving on, after this, we get into Manic versus Sabin.
Hell of a match. Hell of a match. Champion versus champion. Hell of a match.
Oh, fantastic. This is the X Division at its finest, right here. You saw counters, you saw reversals, they were everywhere, they were almost blurred blobs on the screen sometimes, they were moving so quickly. It was just, yeah, this was really well done, very nicely put together, the two complement each other very well. What do you think, Mace?
Very, very good match.
Very, very good match?
Mm-hmm. Sabin got the clean win in this one. And then it got interesting.
And then it did get interesting, because, well, we had a Bully.
A Bully attacked. Bully Ray laid out Chris Sabin. Manic got involved. He got laid out. But Sabin, he wasn't staying down. He fought back. And knocked Ray off his feet and out of the ring. The world champion stood tall.
He did.
2 weeks out, champion stands tall. It's what you want to see. Sabin does not back down from the Bully.
Nope, he doesn't. And the Bully looks like he backed down from Sabin, so that's never a good sign.
Yep. Good stuff.
good stuff. After this, we get, well, another outside shot of the Hummer. That is then interrupted by a very angry Taz, who storms up, ranting and raving about not being let in, not being able to be with his Aces and Eights crew. Which, you know, they could come out. Anyway.
They could come out and get him, but, no, you know, he's not allowed in the building. He's upset. He's pissed off. So what's he going to do? He's going to ruin the surprise for everybody.
He is. He walks up to the limo. He throws open the door. He says, you know, I want to see who this August 1 person is. Opens the door. And, well, he begins to scoff and laugh and go, really? Really? This is what this is all about? Really? Come here. Let me show you what this is all about. The camera comes over.
Hold on.
And we...
Hold on. And inside that limo...
That's right. The August 1 reveal is the one, the only, the former Raw general manager, the laptop.
I liked it. That was funny.
I thought it was really clever. You know, it's like, really? This is how they're going to do the reveal? Okay. And then you have, you know, Taz open the door, and he starts laughing, and it's like, oh, God, what is it? Who is it? And then they pan over, and it's just a laptop sitting there playing the promo, and it's like, well, that's really clever.
Very cleverly done. Nice little tease by Tina.
It was a very nice little tease. And, oh, yeah, by the way, look at that, the Braves won.
Getting more of that tomorrow. Series begins tomorrow. God. Anyway.
Well, you never know.
Moving on, he says.
By the way, they won 11-2, just so everybody's aware.
They have a team that can, you know, close out games. Continue.
Moving on. By the way, before we move on, I'm sorry, Mace, but do you have any thoughts on this?
No.
No? Okay.
No.
Alright, well, after this, let's see, I actually have to scroll down in my notes, because, yeah, we see ODB, she's on her way to the ring, we come back from break, and, well, we see Bad Influence after we find out that, well, they're going to be wrestling each other next week in the Bound for Glory series. They're both dapperly dressed. Daniels is standing there with his wonderful apple teeny. And they both call shenanigans on management for making them face each other. They, you know, reiterate the fact that this has been a conspiracy from day one. Daniels touts the fact that he's undefeated. He's got 21 points, but poor Frankie. That's when things turn serious because Frankie says, don't be that guy. Even though I know you're that guy, don't be that guy to me. Daniels looks slightly confused and Frankie says... I'm going to take the points, that's all there is to it, and you better be at your best. And then he completes laying down his challenge by spilling the apple teeny on the floor and walking away.
The fight's on, he spilled the apple teeny. Fight's on.
It is totally on.
Them going to get up in each other's Kool-Aid. The fight is on next week.
Totally. To which Daniels did not look happy. He looked really tan.
Yeah.
I think somebody's been spending too much time out in the sun.
Well, it's a summertime. I don't know. And he lives out in, what, California? So, yeah.
Yeah. He was getting his sexy on in California.
Pretty much, yeah.
After this, we move on to the... Well, one of the matches of the night, because this was a fun match as well. You have ODB taking on Gail Kim. Where these two just went to town on each other.
They did go to town on each other, and they were just brawling. They ended up brawling around ringside. The male referee counted them out.
Bias, I'm telling you.
Stifler, why'd you count them out? Come on now, let them fight. That's what the crowd wanted. So they brawled a bit. They tried to break it up. But yeah, this match... Fine stuff, and it ended in a double count-out, which means we are probably going to get some more.
Yeah, which means we'll probably get another match next week, or hey, we may get something in Hardcore Justice.
I think that works.
I think I'd be okay with a Hardcore Women's match at Hardcore Justice.
That would be kind of fitting.
That'd be kind of awesome.
ODB in a hardcore match.
Any thoughts, Mace?
To be honest, I completely forgot this match happened. I'm sorry, brain just went there for a second.
Oh, you're fine. Anyway, after the match, we get AJ backstage, and all he's heard about is this dream match between him and Austin. He calls the match BS. He calls everything BS. He's tired of it. He's not the wide-eyed kid he used to be. He's the greedy, power-hungry man that he has become. He says if you can't beat them, join them, and he tells Austin that he's about to become his nightmare. I like Dark AJ Styles.
Dark AJ Styles.
I like emo AJ.
Yeah, AJ's kind of coming. He's evolving nicely into this character.
He really is. It's kind of awesome.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
It's like good call, Tina. Good call. After this, we get another August 1 teaser, and then we see the Mafia backstage. We see the Aces and Ace backstage. Bully's ranting and raving. He says that the Mafia has watched The Godfather one too many times, and they're obsessing over this offer. But, well, Bully's got bigger fish to fry. He says that he's obsessing over Saban. He's obsessing over Hardcore Justice. And he's obsessing over getting his title back. He is planning to destroy both of Saban's knees, and he will take his title back come Hardcore Justice. Bully then appoints Anderson as the one of being in charge of taking care of the main event Mafia tonight and for the foreseeable future, probably. They then break up and, well, Brooke Hogan walks in.
Yeah, she did.
Do we have audio of this before I go on?
No, we don't. Sadly, I just looked for it. I was looking for it.
I'm not going to be able to do this justice. This was actually a brilliant use of Brooke Hogan.
Mm-hmm. She was all up in it tonight.
She was all up in it tonight. Basically, Billy wants to know why she's there, if she wants to divorce that he will never, ever give her. And she just laughs it off, and she says, oh, Mark. She then says, well, she just overheard some conversation about the contract signing that Billy's supposed to have next week. And, well, there's some things in that contract he's not going to like. And he better stay off her bad list, because, you know, happy wife equals happy life. Or in his case, happy ex-wife equals happy life.
Mm-hmm. This was a fantastic use of Brooke Hogan.
This is great.
She was very, I don't know the best word to use for it. It was a little snarky, a little, you know. It was very, very nice use of Brooke. Good stuff.
Yeah, you see her basically turn the tables on Bully, which was a nice change for her.
Two straight weeks that she's been used in the right way.
Yay!
They're finally learning how to use the Brooke Hogan character. It's good. I like it. Nice.
I don't know if they're finally learning how to use the Brooke Hogan character, or if she's finally sort of coming into her own with the character.
That too.
I think it's more she's coming into her own and maybe figuring out who the character is a little bit.
Right. If they keep using her like they did tonight, it would work very well.
Yes. So, after this, we go to the real match of the night. Austin Aries versus AJ Styles.
Okay, this was fantastic.
They gave this away for free. Thank you, TNA, for giving it away for free, even though I don't think that was an overall smart move, but oh my god, this was amazing.
Great match. I thought there was time limits in the Bound for Glory series, apparently not tonight, because they went over 15 minutes, but that's besides the point. I know, but this was a great match. Crazy stuff on the outside. It looked like AJ, on a backdrop, almost hits his head on the back of the ramp thing. Would have been good, but he was able to get out safely. And
That's why if you watch that closely, he puts his hand on the rampway, yeah. And he actually pushes himself forward a little bit to make sure it doesn't happen.
Yeah, but when you see it in fast motion, it was like,
ooh. Oh yeah, when they slowed it down, you noticed what he did. But when he did it properly, you're like, oh, that could have been nasty.
Like 2 inches the other way, he would have been.
Yeah,
popped on the back of his head. Yeah, that would have been any good. But yeah, this was a great match. Right, Mace?
What about Aries' dive following that up, though? Oh my god.
Yeah, the suicide dive, that was great.
Straight onto the steps.
I think we all went, ow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They almost got counted out. They came back in. They traded some shots. We saw the Pele kick, which Tanay noted. That's the old AJ Styles. I like the old AJ Styles. Both men were down. And they fall on top of each other. The referee counts to three. Aries gets his shoulder up at the very last second. And Austin Aries wins the match.
Okay, who wants to rant on the finish first?
I had no problem with the finish.
I had no problem with the finish. I had a problem more with how it kind of came off, because it was very awkward. Okay. Like, a double countout doesn't bother me. It's more, it's the way that it just sort of, it's like you're having this really fantastic match, and then all of a sudden it's a double countout. There wasn't really any, I guess, lead into it, or felt like a natural lead into it.
Well, it wasn't a double countout. Aries won.
Or, you know what I mean, you know what I'm going for.
The double pin, yeah.
Yeah, the double pin, sorry, my bad.
Yeah, it was weird, but it worked for what they were doing.
It worked, and it will lead to potentially a feud between AJ and Aries, because AJ just will not accept that, probably.
Nobody's got to wait, because they can't touch each other until after the Bound for Glory series, because you can only face them once in the Bound for Glory series.
Well, who says it has to be Bound for Glory series?
True, but no, they only have a few more times left, yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, Mace, what'd you think of the finish?
It looked odd. At least to me, it looked like Aries doing sort of the typical thing where it's like you kick out after the three has counted and you just went that fraction too early. And the referee had no choice but to go, yeah, three, but yeah, your shoulder was up. Aries wins! But then again, that could be the way that they planned it. It's really hard to tell with those type of finishes, especially when it's down to the split-second timing.
Right.
Right. Personally, if they decide to end that on a draw, I can't remember, what's the points distribution on a draw?
Two? Maybe?
Two apiece?
I think. I don't remember the points. Impact.
See, I would have been happy to see that happen, because then that gives them a reason to put these two in a feud after the Bound for Glory series and put that match on pay-per-view where it belongs.
Right.
Because that was a money match. That was something you could easily drop the money down and be happy that you spent the money.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's awesome that they gave us that for free, but it sucks that they gave us that for free, because they could have made some money on that match. Because that was the first time it ever happened. Wasn't it?
In TNA, yes.
In TNA, yes.
A draw is 2 points.
Each?
Some matches have nuclear win and take, for instance, yeah, 2 points each. So, there you go. 2 points each, they get, so. It happened last year when Styles fought Storm. And the Aces and Eights attacked. They both got 2 points in that whole schmoz of a finish.
Gotcha. Schmoz, is that a word?
Yeah, it is. Schmoz. Big hoo-ha, brouhaha.
Is that Yiddish?
Yes.
Just checking.
Anyway, continue.
Anyway, backstage we see the Mafia. They're on their way to the ring. And then we come back from break. The Mafia is on their way out. And they're now prepared to make their offer. Sting says that, basically reiterates their goals again. And says that they're halfway to that goal. They've gotten rid of Bully Ray's title, but now they need to take out the Aces and Eights. He then goes on to say that, well, they didn't get their fight last week. But they will, because they're persistent. Sting says that they're going to start by getting rid of the Aces and Eights by making them an offer they can't refuse.
Ooh.
After a very long pause, the Aces and Eights come out. Anderson says that they didn't get the fight last week because, well, they wanted to cheat because Kurt Angle ended up in the back of a pickup truck.
Yeah.
In fact, the only reason that Chris Sabin is champion is because the Mafia likes to cheat. So it's all the Mafia's fault that, you know, Sabin is champion, which, thank you, Main Event Mafia. Thumbs up. Anderson says that they won't back down from a fight, and then Angle then, or they won't back down from their fight, I should say. Angle then makes them the offer. Basically, he says it's a 5-on-5 challenge. But just to up the stakes a little bit, the guy who takes the pinfall has to leave TNA.
Mm-hmm.
To which Angle the confidently then says that this will be the beginning of the elimination of the Aces and Eights one by one.
That is their mission, to get rid of them one by one. So...
the Aces sort of balk a little bit, and then Joe says that this isn't a negotiation. A massive brawl breaks out, where the Mafia then clears the ring. Anderson takes the mic back and accepts the challenge. And then the lights go out. Music begins to play. It's August 1. The person is here. Who is it? It's Tito Ortiz. MMA legend, professional badass, whatever you want to call him. It's Tito. And everybody, from the Aces and Eights to the Main Event Mafia, especially Rampage Jackson, he kind of sold this like a champ, looked a little scared.
Yeah, he did, because he has a big fight with Mr. Ortiz coming up in November.
He does. So, uh-oh, there's competition. Just saying.
So the big reveal, Tito Ortiz.
Okay, I know Mace wants to talk about this, so I will let Mace go first.
I'm not gonna so much talk about this. I prefer, like, I know Bellator has a contract with Spike. This is a crossover marketing gimmick. I understand that. But the thing is, the people who watch MMA don't exactly watch wrestling. So the crossover audience is very low. But Tito can actually work a mic. It was one of the reasons why he became one of the biggest names in mixed martial arts. I'm not really happy that this turned out to be another MMA guy so soon after Rampage Jackson, but I'm willing to sit back and give it time and let them try and sell this to me.
Right. And
fair enough.
It's like, again, with all their cost-cutting things, people will be like, oh my god, they brought in Tito Ortiz, because why did they get rid of so many people, blah, 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 blah. No, it's not. It's Spike paying for this one. This is a Spike deal, and that's why they were pushing it hard. I got no...
Actually...
Go ahead.
Isn't it kind of funny that we were sitting here doing Show Prep last night, we were talking about August 1, and we said, wouldn't it be funny if it's Tito Ortiz, mm-hmm. because Spike is footing the bill?
Yep. We did bring that up. Very curious. Mole.
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 You're the mole.
You're the mole.
I'm not the mole.
Yeah, you are. Clearly.
Rock's the mole. Lindsay's the mole.
Anyway, what did you think, Rock?
It was fine. It was what I was expecting, kind of. Though you made an interesting point right before the segment aired, which would have been interesting, where you had it, our favorite arm breaker return.
Sorry, took a drink of water. Raise your shirt, talking. Yeah, it was, well, I was sitting here and I was thinking about it, and it's like, you look who's in the ring, and it's like, it's Main Event Mafia, and it's Aces. And it's like, okay, whoever August 1 is, they are going to be outside of these two groups. Which means they're going to be that third party that's going to put tension on both the Aces and Eights and the Main Event Mafia. So it's right. Like, well, who would have a gripe with TNA that could come in and kind of sort of be that conscientious objector and put pressure on both sides? And it's like, huh, gee, Steve could do that.
Mm-hmm.
He's bald. That would work. Where it's right. Like, you know, they renegotiate his contract. They bring him back, and they have him come back, because he's got a gripe with the Aces and Eights over the VP vote. He's got a gripe with the Main Event Mafia. So it's like, it's, and he's got a gripe with TNA in general because, well, they let his contract expire. It's kind of perfect.
It is kind of perfect, but it ends up being Tito Ortiz, and that's fine. I can also honestly see him becoming a member of the Aces and Eights and sort of be their counter to Rampage.
That would be interesting to see. I mean, I'm not going to lie, I am a touch disappointed it's Ortiz, just because it's like, I think a lot of us were expecting somebody else. A lot of us were expecting it to be Adam Pearce, which would have been kind of awesome. But then again, it's the same scenario of, no offense to Adam Pearce, he's not as mainstream as Tito Ortiz is. And Ortiz is going to be one of those people that it will get them press. It will help get their name out there.
Right, and I think it would have been a bigger shock that Tito Ortiz showed up tonight if they didn't do what they did last night.
What they do last night?
They promoted the match, Ortiz versus Rampage. They put that all out there on the Bellator event. So if they didn't announce Ortiz was coming back to fight, that would have made it a little bit bigger surprise.
Right.
But it was a nice surprise for the TNA fans, so that's always good.
It was kind of one of those things where it's like, it's probably not going to end up being a wrestler just because they've got the cross-promotion with Bellator, and that seems to be where all their surprises are going. So it's like, it's not surprising, it's an MMA guy, it's Tito Ortiz, so it's like, okay, I'll take it. And I'm kind of with Mace, I'm curious to see where they go with this. I want to see what this leads to, and how you fit a legit fighter into a worked product, as it were.
We got a bunch of legit fighters, and it's a nice crossover. And for TNA's success, crossover can only help.
Right. It's kind of one of those things that. I'm sorry, Mace. Did you?
I know I wasn't going to rant or anything, but I just want to point out one thing. No matter which way they take the storyline, you will not see Rampage or Ortiz touch each other in an Impact ring.
No.
Which is a bit of a shame, because it would have been nice to see something, like a little preview fight or something on TNA to help with the cross-promotion.
But because they want to save them
for Bellator, we're not going to get that.
You may get that if he sticks around long-term.
I don't think either of them are long term. I reckon after this Bellator thing, both of them are gone.
I know Tito for sure. Rampage, it's a different story. But I can see Tito be building up to their pay per view, because this is Bellator's first pay per view under this new, you know, Spike TV deal. I could see them getting close and using Spike as another promotion. Not Spike, TNA as another promotional tool.
Right. And that will help TNA.
Mind you got to laugh, though. Bellator are expecting, or at least trying to get some sort of buzz off TNA, yet how good does TNA's advertising be?
Well, Bellator gets better advertising than TNA. they get things on buses. No, seriously, they do. No, it's... But when Bellator and TNA were on the same night, which they aren't on anymore, TNA was a nice lead-in to Bellator. And I think they're going to try to use that cross-promotion again to help Bellator.
Yeah, look, I know that and I agree with that. It's just, it's funny how TNA's advertising really can't do much to help their own company, yet Spike are using TNA to cross-promote another company whose advertising has been better than TNA's.
Yeah, it's about advertising, but it's also getting the people watching into it. And I think that's the key. Not their advertising budget.
This is kind of one of those things that it's more... Yes, Bellator has the better advertising budget, but when you have Tito Ortiz and Rampage Jackson in a wrestling company, and you have Tito Ortiz walk out on Impact, that's going to get them press. That's going to get them noticed. And that's basically free advertising, in a sense, for TNA and for Spike and for Bellator. So it's, I think that's more what they're shooting for.
Right. And I will say this, it's better than the first rumored opponent for Rampage Jackson. because it was a boxer, Roy Jones Jr. Yeah. It was good. The rumor was Roy Jones Jr. versus Rampage Jackson on the Bellator show.
Yes. And King Kittens makes an interesting point in the chat, which is, you know, this could be big or it could be just another King Mo in a way. By the way, Nightmat, I know you're already gone, but Nightmat.
It could be another King Mo. It could be another King Mo, but they're not, again, they're not expecting Tito to do much. He's not coming in to wrestle. He's just there for something.
He's there to basically be the antagonist in the situation for both sides. And it's, is he going to throw Rampage off his game in both wrestling and in MMA by being there and kind of antagonizing Rampage? Basically, Tito is the neutralizer for Jackson.
Right, and the bigger thing out of this, we got the first announcement tonight of when Rampage gets in the ring.
Oh?
Because the match was 5-on-5. Five aces and eights versus the five main event Mafia members, so Rampage is getting in a ring at Hardcore Justice.
For probably a whole 3 seconds to punch somebody in the face and then step out again.
Still, he's getting in the ring. So, but we're getting his first fight. I kind of think that's interesting.
We're getting it for free.
We're getting it for free. But it's not his first singles match, so, you know.
Right, it's more, I think, if you, because Rampage can go, and it shouldn't be one of those things where basically I think they just have to teach him how to pump and sort of pull a punch. He doesn't have to do anything fancy, because it's more, you know, everybody knows who he is. He's an MMA fighter, so he's got those legit credentials with him. It's just more kind of trying to apply the legit credentials to that worked setting for him. And they've been working with him, and I have little doubt that, you know, based on who he's with, that they haven't been working with him as well and kind of sort of showing him the ropes kind of thing.
Right.
So, but it will be interesting come Hardcore Justice, I say that.
Looking forward to it. 2 weeks.
They're doing a good job. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
2 weeks. Hardcore Justice. Gonna be a good show.
Yes, and they're doing a good job of making this feel like a pay-per-view quality show.
Hey, Tim, turn on the stream on your website. We will tell you who it is. Thank you.
Really? Really?
Yeah, I went there, yeah. So we're going to give this 7 seconds for Tim to turn on the stream. The person was Tito Ortiz. If you didn't hear it now, Tim, sorry about your damn luck.
Yeah, Tim, if you didn't hear who it was, well, tune into the archives, which will be up tomorrow on wildtalkradio.com. But for now, I think we're going to throw it to break.
Because I could take more shots, Tim, but I'll be good.
Yes, you be good.
For now.
Okay, kittens. That's evil, yet hilarious. Anyway, when we come back, we are going to have Tweet of the Week. We are going to have our discussion, which includes what happens when you mix a Kane and a Katie Vick? Do you get a Bray Wyatt? And, of course, we will be reviewing this week's Total Divas. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by MemLanePromo.com, and we will be right back.
Pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Looking for some wrestle talk?
I wonder how many people we lost when we started talking hockey. Four.
I went too, huh?
Fucking Canadians taking over. What the hell?
No, what's he doing? He doesn't work Saturdays.
Yeah, I'm not working. I'm having fun. This is me having fun. See, when I have fun and I'm loose and relaxed, you know.
You sound like you're having fun.
I sound like I'm having fun. And I don't sound like I'm intentionally making bad jokes so you guys can pick up.
Then step into the ring Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, for Wrestle Talk Radio.
Yes, tune in to listen to Tim Stein crack bad jokes and pretend he's funny. He's my neighbor. He's poor. He cannot afford that pot. He only has that pot now. No, that is girl's like pot. Go have a Coke and a smile.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns.
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moments. And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA Wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA Wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
I have something broken.
Hey everybody, this is your favorite TNA knockout, Tara, the one with the baddest, sickest finisher, Widow Peak, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Dirty pop.
Yo.
Sick and tired of hearing all these people talk about what's the deal with this pop life and when is it gonna fade out? The thing you got to realize, what we're doing is not a trend. We got to get the melody, we're gonna bring it till the end. Come on now.
Is it wrong I'm rocking out to this? Is it totally wrong that I'm doing
that? No, it's not.
Anyway, welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends at Memorabilia Lane, MemLanePromo.com. Jersey Girl, it's the music tonight is a complete inside joke. It's based on something that Rock and I were talking about last night.
Yeah, just, yeah, the two songs, yeah, just let it be.
Just go with it. Just go with it. Anyway, tweet of the week. Go with it.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
What are you snickering at?
Huh?
What are you snickering
just
at?
Just the reaction to the NSYNC song. Anyway.
Ah.
I'll go first. AJ, Ziggler made a tweet saying, there's a picture of, you know, about with them eating the cake, and with the cake, and, you know, she's holding her hands wide open where the cake used to be. Like, sorry. And Ziggler goes, babe, shouldn't your hands be farther apart? I mean, come on. AJ replies, babe, you spelled 2 inches wrong. AJ Lee, I'm going to eat my own face off on this 15-hour flight. Well, I had a good run. CM Punk, female TSA agent. Oh, damn, boy. Let me take a look at you married? Kids? You like black girls?
Go TSA, go. Abuse that power.
The Road Dog. The Wyatts just scare me, but I'm kind of a chicken. Kane went down like a man, but he went down. Follow the buzzards.
Wow, you could take that wrong.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah. AJ Lee climbed the mountain today. She is also Batman.
Damn right she is.
And there's a picture of AJ getting up close and personal with Brie Bella. And someone goes, AJ embraces Brie. Hashtag WWE Cape Town. AJ replies, look, it's been a lonely couple of weeks.
Oh, poor AJ.
Eric Young, hashtag rockets, hashtag science, hashtag trust. Frankie Kazarian, Joe Park picks up the W. Fact, now he will rush to catering and pick up the dessert tray and proceed to devour it. And this one's from a reporter here in town, Dennis Deitch, goes, can Obama cut a deal where instead of taking Papelbon's guns, he just takes Papelbon?
Ha!
And there you go. Yeah, things were not pretty tonight.
Yeah. By the way, Braves still won, 11-2.
Yeah. Papelbon doesn't want to be here, so he can go. Anyway, yeah. Continue.
Mace, do you have any?
I've only picked up one, and this came during Impact. From Samoa Joe, I just invented the kick flip senton. You may continue to live life now.
Well played. That's
what Joe does.
Well played, Joe. Well played. It's all right. John Cheese, just a reminder, boobs. Petey Williams, the Wolverine. And imagine going to a Japanese indie wrestling show that features your favorite wrestler with a so-so undercard. Jake the Snake, DDT. I'm trending on at Yahoo. Would be more excited about it if I knew what the hell it meant. Is it addictive? Can I do it while doing at DDP yoga?
The answer is yes.
Yes. Yes, Jake, you can. Vicky Langston. Somebody tweets him, who wants to join the Big E short slash butt cheek appreciation club? To which he replies, I want final approval on all butt related merch. And finally, Frankie Kazarian. Manic is fun to watch. Personally, I liked him better back in 2008-2009.
Well played. We also,
yeah. Well played, Frankie. Well played. Let's see, we also have submissions from Jersey Girl, to which she says, Dolph Ziggler, armed robber steals $53 million in jewels from Cannes, France. Apparently there's also a Pink Panther movie festival there. And also from Dolph Ziggler, I can't find my pants. Good to know.
Good to know.
So that is Tweet of the Week.
Tweet a week. Always a favorite segment here on the show.
Yes, it's always fun to scour Twitter and find stuff for this. Anyway, moving on. So we're going to talk first about this discussion that we have been teasing all week. And this is something that Brock and I came up with after last week's show. Actually, was it Thursday or Friday that we came up with?
It was, we were watching SmackDown. We watched the SmackDown, you were watching it a second time on replay. And on your screen now, you'll see sort of what we're talking about. Alright, so the conversation went like this. I'm curious by the statement that he's been waiting on Kane for a long time. Or rather, he's always been waiting for him. She thought it was odd, I thought it was odd, and then, you know, she was thinking, well, maybe there's some sort of connection between the two. And then, you know, the first thing I throw out, you know, out there, just for a connection, just a random thought, and I wasn't trying to go deep with it, sort of, you know, could Kane be his father? And that's where things go from here.
He should know better than to make statements like that to me.
I know. Continue.
It got deep. Basically, I then proceed to do what is called the age check, where basically is it feasible for Kane to be Bray Wyatt's father? And as it turns out, they are exactly 20 years apart in age. So it is entirely feasible, at least as far as in reality terms, that, you know, Kane / Glenn Jacobs could have fathered, you know, Bray Wyatt / Husky Harris. Even though we all know that's not true, it is an entire possibility. And then this led to the conversation of, well, who could Kane have possibly shacked up with to get a kid?
So we went through a bunch of names, and we should add Bill Moody, Paul Bearer lived in the Gulf Coast, and that was sort of another connection. Well, that would make it possible, because Bray does live in that area, and we'll get into more of that. But we thought of who could he have shacked up with, and, you know, just many thoughts go through your head. Just could have been this random person. We went through the list of all the people he's been with, blah, blah, blah. And then the name Katie Vick came up, and we were like, huh, could it be? Could have been, you know, his child with Katie Vick? And then we did, like, the math and the research, and, you know, the promo was years ago, you know, he dated someone named Katie Vick, and they got into the car accident, so Katie could have died, and it could have been a child. She could have already given birth to a child, and then, you know, Bray's all lost, and, you know, that explains his, you know, personality.
Or she, you know, she could have given birth to a child and she was forced to give him up, or she was pregnant during the car accident. You know, there's any number of scenarios as to how this child comes into being, and then there's the whole other host of issues of, did Kane know? Did he purposely give Bray up? Was he forced to give Bray up? Because in thinking about it, logistically, Kane is certainly in no position to take care of a child at all.
No.
And so it could have been one of those scenarios that, well, he was forced to give him up either by his father, by the family, by Katie, whatever. And then there's the possibility of Kane never knew because, well, he was in and out of mental institutions.
Mm-hmm.
So it could have been a phrase, or he was in and out of Paul Bearer's basement. So there is the possibility that while she was in the last parts of her pregnancy, he was somewhere else, or she could have gone somewhere else. There's any number of possibilities on how to actually explain it. But it's sort of an interesting scenario that we came up with, and it's because, and they keep kind of teasing it, where it's like it feels like there's this intimate relationship that they're sort of hinting at with Bray Wyatt and Kane. Like, there is a connection, there is something there, and I'm sure they're not, and I'm sure we're looking far too deep into it, but it would be a really interesting development to the character and to the story of the Brothers of Destruction / Kane, to where you sort of now have that next generation, especially now that Paul Bearer is gone, where you add that next member of the family. It is Bray Wyatt, and he's sort of there. But why would he be there? Why would he go after Kane? Is he looking for a family reunion?
Possibly. You try to think of what is the reasoning behind Bray's attacks. Is he upset that his father abandoned him? Is that why he's coming after him? And he's been waiting for him all along. Was it waiting for him to finally get in touch with his father? It's a possibility.
It's entirely a possibility. It could be something of Kane doesn't know and Bray does know who his father is. Or is he there to destroy Kane in the sense of, well, kind of sort of, the way Kane showed up on that destructive path to destroy The Undertaker 15, 16 years ago now. Could it also be that, well, Bray Wyatt is on that similar path where he's seeking revenge maybe for the death of his mother, the destruction of his family, the destruction really of his life?
Right.
Because, well, it's kind of one of those things where it's like Bray Wyatt doesn't seem to have a family outside of the
Rowan
and
Harper.
Thank you. Sorry, I'm still learning their names. I'm so sorry. But he doesn't, that is his quote-unquote family. You don't see, really, a mother, you don't see a father, you don't hear anything else about it. And I know they just debut, but it seems like for Bray Wyatt, there isn't that stability there.
Right.
And that's always, it feels like that's kind of something that has always been lacking in his life. And so maybe he blames Kane for that, the fact that, he had the chance at a normal family, and then Kane kills his mother, and then, he's given up for adoption, or he's given away, or
right.
whatever, and Kane goes off and does whatever, and doesn't assume responsibility of Bray, even though he technically couldn't legally.
Right.
But that's getting way too deep into that.
Yeah.
This is way too deep as it is. But
yeah, we went way too deep into this. We were like, But it took us only, 5-10 minutes to actually justify the thought of Katie Vick plus Kane equals Bray Wyatt.
It really did, because it's just the math works out.
Yes.
And it's kind of one of those things where it would be an interesting debut, and it would give it a nice tie to why the Wyatts are there, why they're going after Kane. But I'm curious to know, what do you think, Mace? Are we crazy?
Why does everything taste like copper?
Because you have too much mineral in your water?
I think my brain just had an aneurysm. That aneurysm had kittens. And they all grew up to attack my brain.
Then our job is done.
You guys think too much about these things.
Sorry.
Allowed to communicate after midnight anymore.
Oh no, that's when the best ideas come. Don't you understand this?
Actually, this one I think came before midnight.
No,
sadly.
This was after midnight.
This was after midnight? Okay.
After my midnight, at least.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think it was midnight for me.
No, she was still in the before midnight stage, yes. But yeah, we have weird ideas, and it's interesting thoughts. It's not true. And if it turns out to be true, we want our money. But
yeah,
it's just an interesting
rack exclusive.
Hashtag rack exclusive. It's just an interesting theory we wanted to throw out for the people, and it creeps some people out.
Well, I think
I can hear the brain sizzling on the frying pan right now from all of that.
Sorry. If you can't tell, I'm really into character development.
Mm-hmm.
Really into it.
She wants to know backstories, and, from time to time, we sit here and we create them just because WWE doesn't provide them as quick or ever.
Yeah, in the case of The Shield. Get on it, WWE. But no, it more, I think, started of why the Wyatts would be going after Kane in the first place. Other than he's a nice feud, that kind of thing for them to come in on. It's what discernible reason does Bray Wyatt have to go after Kane, because he seems like, at least for the Wyatts, an odd choice. There has to be a reason behind them going after him, and whether it's they want to bring him into the family, they want to destroy who he's become, they want to destroy what he is, whatever. It's what their motive is. That's kind of what I'm interested in, and that's what I'd like to know.
Behind this whole thing, what's the driving force? What's their motivation?
Right. It's one of those things where it's like they could do something really cool and really interesting with it, and they probably won't. Because it's like the scenario for any wrestling fan, it's like the scenario that you come up with your head within your own mind is, you know, always, or I shouldn't say always, but usually better than what you end up getting on TV.
Right, and that always leads to a letdown. But what they can come up with is going to be great, it just won't be, you know, as detailed as some people like.
Right.
And that's okay, and that happens. But it's one of those, what if this is the direction they go, and what if this is a scenario, what if there's an actual real tie-in between the two, other than grudge match here?
And we're not even going into the scenario where we, you know, came up with that Bray could also be Kane's half-brother.
There's that
one, too, that we didn't even get into.
Yeah,
but
that went deep. I don't know how even we got there, but we did.
I think it started with, well, what if it wasn't Kane and Katie Vick? What if it was Paul Bearer and Katie Vick? And we just went from there.
Yeah. Think about that. We just merged Katie Vick and Paul Bearer. Yeah. Yeah. You've all been scarred.
Well, seeing as Rock is the mole, you know, it's...
I'm not the mole.
You're totally the mole.
No, I'm not.
You're totally the mole.
Not the mole. Omega's the mole because he's not here.
But I'm curious to know and pull the chat room for those of you listening and you're in our chat room at wildtalkradio.com. What do you think? Do you think it's feasible? Do you think, you know, what do you feel is Bray Wyatt's motivation behind going after Kane? Could there be a family tie-in?
Concerned about the mole.
They're more concerned about the mole. Tim is the mole, according to Jersey Girl. Mace is the mole, according to Kane Kittens.
Four letters, you know. Mole, Mace, four letters, you know.
Both start with M, both end with E.
Yeah. But yeah, it's kind of curious. Are we nuts? Are we crazy? Okay. Those questions are...
Yes.
How about the scenario? Is the scenario crazy? Yeah. And Jersey Girls goes, if that's true, then Taker is Wyatt's uncle. There's your other tie-in.
Yep.
Oh, Lord. That would end up being one fucked up family tree.
Isn't it already a screwed up family tree?
Because if you think about it... No, I don't even want to think about it. I'm not even going to try.
Go down the path, Mace. Go down
I don't want to go down the path.
Do it! Come to the dark side. We have cookies.
No. I'm not going down that path. No. I went down there for a moment, saw what was there, and went, no, fuck this. Turned around and went back.
Well, no. There also is the speculation that there was another story that popped in my head, but I'll just leave it alone. But as far as at least within the fangirl dump, I'll put it like that. There has always kind of been this speculation and this fascination with, you know, basically Taker and Kane having children. And it's always been Kane has had a son and Taker's had a daughter. And I know this is way too much information, but anyway. So what if that were to kind of come true? Because it's like they've always kind of teased a fourth member of the family. And I know years ago they had talked about adding a fourth member of the family and then it never happened. And now that Paul Bearer is gone, one of the things that I at least pointed out to Rock is that that custodian of the family is gone. And so when Taker and Kane are gone, there is nobody to really take up the mantle or take up the legacy of the family. It's going to be just they're going to fade into memory kind of thing. So it would almost make sense to sort of establish that tie-in in that next generation of wrestlers somehow to the family.
Right.
Where it's they either become the custodian of it or they're the destroyer of it or whatever. Because part of the scenario is it's like this could also lead to the change in the Kane character, which, you know, aside from his debut, 2 years ago back with the mask, where he was feuding with John Cena, and then he lost to Cena, and he went back, and then he began to the journey into happy-go-lucky Kane, which is what we have now. It's, they kind of need to transition him into another period, or not into another period, but into another character, because at this stage he's sort of in limbo.
Right, he's very much starting, in limbo.
So now we're beginning to see that with the Wyatts and the fact they're starting to push on Kane, and they're starting to push him into that really dark kind of direction, where they're pushing him back towards that more insane side of himself. We're seeing that development, and, you know, it would be a nice tie-in that, you know, his own son does it, or maybe his own nephew does it, or even his own brother. It's just, it's kind of one of those things that it would be a nice tie-in to the family, that's all.
So, there you go.
So, there you go. That welcome to my brain.
Yeah, I give her one idea, and this is what we spawned off into. It's amazing, and it's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
You've all been now scarred for life. You're welcome. You're welcome, America. You're welcome.
Yes. You're welcome. We salute you. All right, so we're going to move on from scarring everybody, at least with this, to potentially scarring people with something else.
Oh, we're about to get up in some Kool-Aid now.
We are totally about to get up in some Kool-Aid, because we are now going to talk about Total Divas. Mm-hmm. Yes, the show premiered on Sunday, too much fanfare, and really good ratings. It was actually one of the highest, if not the highest, debut for E.
The highest debut in quite some time of new original programming other than the Kardashians.
Yes, so
it had 1.3 million people on the debut, 2 million overall for the first day, plus that yet another 1.5 for after Raw, so over 3 million people watched the debut of Total Divas.
Right. So
either way, you still have a show, a quote unquote reality show, with hot looking females with big asses.
And we're gonna get all into this because we're gonna get into all. We're gonna break this whole show down.
No, I'm yeah. just stating
know,
that
know,
the first thing we were told about was, look, she got a big ass.
Yeah, there was that. Whichever Funkadactyl was, I can't remember their names because there's a lot of names.
Naomi. Trinity is her real name.
Right.
I think it's Naomi.
Yeah, there's Naomi and there's Ariane and that's Cameron, I think.
Can we address that one first off?
We'll go ahead.
Instead, like, I know that they're going by real names, and of course, you know, Nikki and Brie are real names, Natty's real name. Couldn't they at least, just for the part of this, have kept Naomi and Cameron as their stage name? As you're trying to portray the lifestyle of WWE, of course, you're going to have the WWE audience tuning in to see, you know, Trinity and, sorry, what was the other one's name?
Ariane.
Even without it any brackets next to the name stating this one's Naomi, this one's Cameron, because frankly I never paid enough attention to tell them apart, that just got real confusing.
Well, yeah, but
like some sort of acknowledgement of we know that they're the Funkadactyls, this one's Naomi, this one's Cameron, that way the wrestling side of that's going to be tuning in can keep track of who's who.
I would just change your names now just to Trinity and Ariane.
Do that. That would be a lot easier to keep track of rather than having one set of names for what's shown on WWE and another set of names for what's shown on Total Divas.
Right.
Well, I think also to kind of sort of counter that, it's a reality show, in quotations, because we all know reality shows are worked. But I think a lot of people would have ended up calling bullshit either way, because it's, well, in one case, you break kayfabe by using their real names. But on the other case, if they had used the stage names only, that would sort of, I guess, damage the integrity.
Right, because then we also get into
the show.
We also get into the point of the other name that Trinity announced, her boyfriend, Jimmy Uso, a.k.a. John.
Yeah, again, like, even having...
like,
This is the thing. It's something that is so simply fixed by the producers. Put brackets next to the name, telling us who the character names are.
Right.
There's only the ultra, ultra, ultra hardcore fans, like I'm going levels above myself here, that would research these people's names.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, you know, and the names of the Usos and the Funkadactyls aren't as well publicized and well known as, say, like The Undertaker and Kane.
Right.
So people aren't going to know this. And without them, like, I know they explained it, but at the same time, having the visual representation helps a lot.
Right.
Alright, so that's the first little scenario of the show, and they classified them as Broadway with body slams. I found that interesting.
And they're sports entertainers.
Mm-hmm. Sports entertainers.
Broadway with body slams. You'd be surprised. That is probably the most apt
depiction
of professional wrestling ever done.
It was really fitting. It was really fitting, and I kind of like that term. Broadway with body slams. I was like, huh. Lindsay got the rare treat. I watched the entire show while she was on the phone with me. So, the first time.
Yeah. Basically, what happened is the way this went down is we should I organize saw the show first.
To do that. All of us watch it at the same time.
That'd be awesome! Sunday, let's do it! Let's make this happen!
After WTR.
After WTR.
Yes, after WTR.
Hey,
lucky
a new
it
riff.
Airs.
A new riff. How about that? Anyway, so we get into that a little bit, and then we get the introduction of the Bellas, and the first Bella, let's start with the first Bella, Nikki. She introduces us to her boyfriend, John Cena. And they have this very funny, not funny, very movie-esque moment where they recreate the role from The Notebook. Kissing in the rain, and she jumps into his arms.
It was basically in Cena's head going, this is going to get me laid.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much. That was the whole deal. So they reenact this thing for the scene from The Notebook. Then we meet Bree's boyfriend, WWE superstar Daniel Bryan, otherwise known as Bryan Danielson.
But with their recreating the thing, you could tell John's never seen it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's like, wait, what do I say? Where am I looking? What am I doing? What?
No,
hi, you're in my arms now.
No, it's more of, wait, what is that?
Exactly.
It's like, yeah.
Go away, bitch. I want to go back to my fishing.
Lindsay had to explain to me what The Notebook was because I had never seen The Notebook.
Yeah.
Me neither, so.
If you've been in a relationship when around this movie came out, most girlfriends, wives, whatever, tortured their significant others by making them sit through this movie. I've never seen it either. I refuse to watch it. I'm probably the only girl in America that has refused to watch it. So, yeah. It's just like, yeah. I can't do that to people. So basically, I had to explain to Rock what it was. But yeah, it's this basically really ultra-romantic, sappy, soppy movie that everybody apparently cried through and it's like, oh yeah, let's create The Notebook, because, you know, that's awesome.
Right. So, we get introduced to Bryan Danielson, Daniel Bryan, and then we get to meet the Bella's mom, Kathy, and then, you know, they talk about Brie and how Daniel and her live together in San Diego, and they have this lifestyle where they go to farmers markets and that sort of thing. And then, up rolls Nikki in her brand new Range Rover. Where she shows off this custom-built Range Rover. Right, Lindsay?
Yes, we actually researched this. This is probably a $100,000-plus car we're talking about. It's custom paint, custom interior, probably loaded out to the max with everything you can ever conceive of putting in a car. Very nice, very expensive car.
So anyway, John gives her a $100,000 car. Just keep that in the back of your mind. That they're going to break in later.
So John's trying to hide the alimony money?
Well, I wouldn't say it's hiding alimony money, but we'll get into that in a second. Because then they bring up, you know, the whole idea of marriage.
Can you tell what the theme of this show is going to be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Brian, this is a quote from Brian. It's a bit odd from a man's perspective that he gave you a Range Rover before he gave you a ring.
I'd actually agree with Brian on that one, actually.
Yeah, I'm with
it's
Brian.
Like, yeah, I'm not going to give you an engagement ring, which, you know, might only cost, you know, no, if John, the way John spends money, maybe
same price
10,
as a
no. 15, 20 grand.
No, it would probably...
I'll just give you a $100,000 Range Rover for the fuck of it.
No, Mace, it would probably be the same price of the car.
Yeah, because Randy Orton's wife, her ring was 100 grand.
So there's that whole competitive nature thing.
Still, it's one of those things of, you know, yeah, I agree with Daniel on this one. This is a very weird, even from a man's perspective.
It is. It's very curious that, you know, he gave you a car. That
well, this is...
Go ahead.
This is where we're going to kind of segue into something, because this is, again, where we went too deep, and we did a little bit of research.
Yeah, I was going to transition to that. Let's do that. So,
thank you.
Was it really a gift, or was it actually John's car? Because there was no license plate on the car, no dealer tag on the car. When you get a new car, there is at least a dealer tag on the car. So, was it really a new car for her that she's always wanted before she could drive?
You'd find that, yes, it is. They removed the dealer tags to avoid any accidental advertising for somebody not affiliated with the show.
No, it's not a deal. It's a dealer tag where you just put a piece of paper up in it to show your car is legal. That's all it is.
Yeah, but they would still remove that.
No,
from...
No, you don't. No, not when you drive it, no.
No, technically, in a personal
property for a setup shot.
No, you don't remove the dealer tag, but that's beside the point. We went too deep into thinking, did he really buy her a car or just let her drive one of his?
Because it's like I can understand the taking the dealer tag off to avoid getting sued, but even still it's like you can get a generic state dealer tag that's on the back of the cars. That's what all the cars here have until they sell, and then they put the, you know, must be licensed by whatever date on the back of the car. But they could put a dealer tag on the car. So it was just kind of interesting that the dealer tag was gone from the car. There was no, it must be licensed by this plate, and it was not licensed.
Right.
It's like if it's his car, it would have a Florida license plate. If it's actually her car, then it should have had some kind of indication that it was in the process of being made legal.
Right, and with TV, you would blur it out.
Yeah.
But or sometimes just blur her hubcap.
Yeah, in the case of my car. Thank you, Google Maps. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that's funny. So, we got too deep in there, so...
Well, no, and this kind of leads to another thing that we were talking about, which is, it goes back to Brian's statement of, he bought her a $100,000 car, but he won't put a ring on it.
Right.
To which, of course, you know, she sort of stands there and laughs it off and goes, well, maybe it'll lead to a ring. And this led to us kind of asking the question, well, how long have they been dating? Because for everybody else on the show where their boyfriend, significant other, whatever got introduced, they gave a time frame for how long they had been together.
Right.
John and Nikki were, I think, the only ones that didn't get a time frame. I'm not sure if they did it for Trinity and the Uso, but they are engaged. So it's like it's kind of sort of there's been enough time that they have at least gotten to that next step. For John and Nikki, it's a little suspect because they don't say how long they have been together. They don't give an indication how long they've been together. And so it's kind of like, well, if he bought her a $100,000 car, assuming it is not his, he either moves really quickly or they've been together longer than we all have been led to believe they have been together.
Right, because we did the math, and, okay, and this so this is where we get scary, and no one should ever be part of our brain train of thought, it's one brain. So we go into the whole math of it, and, you know, well, he got divorced in July, and so maybe they started right around then. But she talked about it in an interview that, you know, he approached her because they've been friends for a while. You figured they would have to be together.
Anyway, picking back up where he left off, then we track back a little further where, well, you know, the end of June, beginning of July, that would be when Nikki got her boob job.
Mm-hmm. Boob job, yeah.
So the question is who paid for the boob job?
Was it John Cena?
Or was it her?
Hmm.
But then you track back further. The divorce got filed 2 days after Extreme Rules. Conveniently, the Bellas left that same week in WWE.
Right. Conveniently. Convenience.
And there's always kind of been this allegation around Cena as far as whether he's been faithful or not. Whether it's rumor, speculation, whatever, there were accusations made by Ken Dome. There have been rumors that have been coming out that he was unfaithful, you know, through other various sources. I can't remember them right now, but there's always kind of that speculation. But basically, for any guy that I know, for them to get a major gift like that, you would have to be together a while.
Yeah, you would.
Because he seems like a relatively intelligent person. He seems like somebody who just would not throw his money away like that just to buy somebody a car. Because that's a pretty major gift. I won't even lie, that's not even pretty major. That is a major gift.
It's like a piece of jewelry, yeah.
It's like he bought her a car before he bought her a ring, before he bought her a house. And that's not if, you know, that's their place. And he's also paying for her apartment, which we won't go into.
It just makes you wonder.
Yeah, it kind of makes you wonder how long they've been together. But you can tell that, like, when Brian said, you know, so wait, he bought you a car before he bought you a ring? She's in her head going, crap. Crap, crap, crap.
Right. Alright, so we move on. Because we'll get more into them, their marriage in a bit. Or whatever you want to call it. Their relationship. We now get introduced to Natalya Neidhart. Well, we were introduced earlier, but this is the first real scene with Natty. And she first runs into Steph. saying, sorry I missed your, you know, your speech. I was doing access. Heard it was good. But the caption was, 7 days before WrestleMania.
It's a protection flub.
Exactly. Anyway, so we now get the theory of, we're getting to know Natty, and she gets a call from Talent Relations Head, the Jane. And she calls her down for a chat and informs her a week before that she's not being booked at WrestleMania. And this is where everyone around the world went, aw, poor Natty. Because she was upset that she was not a part of WrestleMania. And then she was told she, well, has to be the chaperone for the new two girls who just made the cuts. Who we'll get into in a minute.
Right.
And Natty was bummed that she, you know, the Bellas were gone for so long and they come back and now they're the ones getting the shot. Natty was not happy.
No, she wasn't. And while the situation was incredibly staged and you could tell, the emotion was real.
Emotion was real. She put on a good performance, but yeah, that was a stage moment. That was stage moment number one. So as this goes, we then meet Eva Marie and JoJo. And the one big thing about them is Eva Marie, you know, has dark hair with red highlights, and she conveniently walks up at the right time after Natty gets told they have to chaperone, and Brie Bella is there, and, you know, they talk about, we want you to change your hair color to blonde. And she seems resistant, but she agrees to it. And then Natty, you know, is told that she's the chaperone and what have you. So we're now getting to the point where we're going to find out, does Eva Marie make her hair blonde?
And no.
Which if anybody saw them on Raw the week before...
Yeah, you would know. Now, let's get into that a little bit. So she's at the salon, right? And she's trying to make her hair blonde, and she wants to go, no, let's go totally different. Let's go really, really red. So she gets her hair red, and she, next day or whatever, she gets a call. Jane wants to see her, and she goes, wow, what happened to blonde? She seems shocked, and Elle then sort of admits, well, I kind of like it. Now, this is the theory of, if you were told to do something by WWE, and you go against it, wouldn't you be punished?
Yes. It's usually, we're taking you off the road for X amount of days, or enjoy your future endeavors, bitch.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, if she defied authority so directly as, well, oh yeah, you know, I know you told me to dye my hair blonde, but yeah, I'm going to do it red instead. And not just red, Rihanna red, which looks like crap, by the way.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, because she's developmental, they would have been like, see ya.
Right, and the reason was they wanted to, you know, change her look so she doesn't look like Nikki Bella, because they hired someone to look like just like me.
Yeah, it's called your sister.
Called your sister, yeah. So we had that, their first meeting, and that was interesting. When the Bellas meet the new girls, and they were... JoJo's this bright-eyed, energetic young girl, and then there's Eva Marie.
Which is kind of interesting, because it's like for Paige, who's down in NXT right now, she is 20... And the rumor is they're holding her off the road until she turns 21, versus JoJo, who is, what, 19?
Right, and she's, yeah. But that's why she has to chaperone named Natalya Neidhart.
Hey, you know what? I would be okay having Natty as my chaperone. That'd be kind of awesome, actually.
It kind of would be, yeah.
Nothing else, it would be, hey, you want to go shoe shopping?
Alright, so we'll backtrack a little bit now. After we got through the hair debacle a little bit. We then meet Ariane's boyfriend, Vincent. And, well, he's not a wrestler. He's a totally normal guy, she says. They show their clips of the relationship. And then we get the WrestleMania dress rehearsal. Natty was upset, you know, about her Mania dreams, and now she's babysitting these girls and Ariane's boyfriend. And then Ariane brings up, Brodus yelled at her in the ring during the dress rehearsal. Vincent got really mad and he wanted to beat up Brodus Clay for disrespecting his woman.
Because, you know, that's an intelligent option.
Right. Trinity was mad, and, you know, she's trying to calm her partner down, and Vincent was trying to calm down, and he was going to go off and try to beat up Brodus Clay. Now, this was like the first real thing on the show. Majorly real thing.
Yeah.
Because if this was stage, we would have seen the yelling. And yeah, from all accounts, it was a legit thing, too.
Yeah, from all accounts, it was a legit thing. And you basically have Natty trying to defuse the situation. You have Jon Uso trying to defuse the situation. You have Trinity trying to defuse the situation. And you have Trinity, what you see after this is Trinity and John in the car, and they're talking, and basically Trinity says that, well, her boyfriend has no business being backstage.
Pretty much, yes. And they're going to need to talk about it.
Bing, 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 bing. Correct. If you are not a part of the show, get the fuck out of the backstage area.
Exactly.
That's one of the big rules in wrestling. You never bring people outside the business into the backstage area.
So...
Even WWE should know this, and probably the reason why it was all loud was because it's drama for the camera!
Exactly. Trinity and Ariane go to lunch, and they discuss it, and, you know, she wants him to talk to her boyfriend, and, you know, make sure he doesn't do that again. And that sort of thing.
Right.
But we'll get more into them in a moment. But before we get into that part, we get to the WrestleMania kickoff party. where they see the hair for the first time. Natty's doing pre-tapes. And then we get those moments where the Bellas show off their how they're veterans, and they want the young girls to get them, well, drinks.
Yeah, it's called Let's Haze the New Girls, I think, while actually at either the Sandy for the Relief Sandy, or the Sandy Relief Fund, there we go, if I can talk, auction, or they were at WWE event, or they were at a Be a Star thing, or whatever, but still, it's like they're basically hazing the new girls. Mm-hmm. On camera.
Yeah, they did.
Be a star, ladies. Be a star.
But the look on the girl's face was like, I'm just only going to get you one.
Yeah. Yeah, Eva Marie's going to get smacked before the end of the season. I have a funny feeling on that one.
So, after the kickoff...
Not just that.
Go ahead.
Oh, I swear to God. The attitude of Eva Marie really, really is going to end up costing her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not kidding. I reckon as soon as the Total Divas hype dies, somebody's kicking her out the back door.
Well, she's gonna, if you saw it, we'll get into the preview, but basically next week, Eva Marie gets her first taste of reality from Stephanie McMahon.
Right. So, we then have, you know, we come from the party, we go to the next day where the Bellas go out to lunch. And this is where they talk about, you know, Bree starts talking about going ring shopping, and Nikki wishes she could go ring shopping, but is happy for Bree, and then starts to cry. They discuss if John would ever want to get married again. Nikki's wonders what her walk away point will be with him.
Basically, Nikki gets jealous and makes it all about her.
Yep. So then we're backstage and we have one of our favorite lines.
You're up in my Kool-Aid.
Yes, he clipped it.
For those who didn't get it, it's.
You're up in my Kool-Aid.
You're up in my Kool-Aid. That's the line. Line of the show, you're all up in my Kool-Aid. It was amazing. But they bickered a while, and then they kissed and made up.
They did.
And now this, where I'll turn it over to Lindsay for John and, well, Nikki having the conversation.
Oh my goodness gracious, this was all kinds of awkward. We talked about it last week on the show, where the clip of them actually at dinner got leaked, and they have the conversation about, well, we're going to try. Or, you know, basically, he doesn't want to get married right now. He just got out of the marriage with his last wife. You know, presuming that they started dating back in November, or around, you know, August, November, sometime in that time frame, it's still a little bit early for her to be pushing that issue. But anyway, so she's, you know, he doesn't want to get married right now, but basically he's willing to see where this goes, kind of thing. Based on his reaction, and the fact that he gave her a car before a ring, that's kind of really clear throughout this episode that he's sort of keeping her in that rebound place.
A smidgen.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a little bit.
She's the rebound chick. That was made very clear.
Yeah, she's the rebound chick. He's keeping her in that sphere. And this is where I want to again go into the preview for next week's show, okay, where you
before,
have...
Before that, can I... this whole conversation with Cena, though...
Oh, I'm sorry.
You know why it was so awkward?
Aside from the fact it was staged?
Well, besides that. The way she put it, dancing around the issue, being very coy about it, instead of just coming out and saying, my sister went ring shopping today, It's made me wondering about my future with you. Boom, straight out, done.
Yeah, you can't ask that straight out.
Yeah, girls don't work like that, dude. Girls don't work like that. Especially
girls
like her.
Are illogical.
Yeah, we don't work like that. So it is basically the whole reason of the conversation is because you've got Trinity who is engaged with an unknown wedding date. The whole season is leading up to Natty's wedding, so you've got that going on in the background. Then you've got her sister, her younger sister, by the way, going ring shopping with her boyfriend, which means a wedding is imminent for these two. So it's basically she's feeling the pressure almost on all sides as far as, well, she's landed the right man. He's a multimillionaire. He's going to be set for the rest of his life, barring anything catastrophic from happening. He's not married, but yet she cannot get him to commit to her fully.
It's clear what she is. She's a gold digger.
Yet, you know, her sister, who has been with Brian for 3 years, is getting ready to get married. So it's like basically she's feeling the pressure. And this is just all based on the editing and what we've actually seen. This is all speculation, but it feels like that. Whereas basically she's feeling the pressure, she's feeling jealous, and out of the two of them, Nikki is the more showy of the two. Like if you actually see their personalities, or at least the way they're presented on the show, Bree is much more down to earth. She's the much more quiet of the two.
Yeah, she is.
Whereas Nikki is the louder one, she's more of the show-off, she's more out there, kind of in your face. So it's like, it would make sense that it's like, well, it's not going to be about her, because when Bree gets married. So it's like, well, Bree's going to get married, she's going to marry Daniel Bryan, who's not nearly the star that John Cena is, but yet Nikki can't land Cena. So, jealousy!
Pretty much, yeah. So now we move on. WrestleMania Sunday. The time is here. The time is now. The Bellas are backstage. They watch Daniel Bryan put on his 5-star classic with the Shield. No, it was Ziggler and Big E, my bad. Big E and stuff, then they talk about how impressive he was, and they're all getting ready for the match, and then the Funkadactyls, they're stressing. Because for some reason, their gear isn't ready. Oh no, their gear is not done. Why wasn't their gear done? It's amazing. It's like WrestleMania, their gear is not done right before the match. How is that even possible?
Basically, a last minute addition to their gear. By the way, I felt sorry for that seamstress. I really did.
Yeah, if it was actually real. I don't buy that their gear wasn't done.
Oh, I don't buy it either, not for a second. But still, it's just like you feel bad for the
seamstress. Yeah, you do. So, as we come back, we see the match that's going on in the ring, Undertaker and Punk. The girls are getting ready, the Funkadactyls have their costumes, they're all in their gear. Natty is upstairs with the new girls. Saying the Bellas are up next, let's watch. Now, if you do this in order, wasn't Brock and Hunter after Taker Punk?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that... Anyway. So, Natty and the new girls are ready to watch the next contest. It's the Bellas. They're going to be in action. And here comes John Cena, and Natty was like, huh? What? What's going on? I thought the girls were up next. So she hustles downstairs with the girls, and Natty finds the Bellas and the Funkadactyls in the same room, conveniently. And they say their match got cut. And then Natty asks the stupidest question of all. So are you guys on next?
Considering she saw the start of the main event, yeah, stupidest question.
You guys are the main event now?
No, we're going to be the post-show!
Bad editing. Bad editing.
So, bad scripting. Bad scripting.
That was bad scripting, yeah. You know, she talks about how things change. So the Bellas were upset, and then the Funkadactyls, they were really upset, and they call it devastating. And the one was like talking about how, you know, she's only going to be here for a few more years because, you know, she wants to have kids and stuff. Which, you know, you have to feel bad for her. She is trying to get on Mania before she's done in the business. That makes sense. But overall, I hate to admit it, it's a pretty good show.
It's giving people an inside look on how the lives of wrestlers are. You know, it's something that's not covered that well, even with all the documentaries and everything else that goes on. You rarely get to see life.
Right.
And you really got to see life in this, and that's pretty cool. You got to see backstage, which is we were concerned about what they would show and what they wouldn't show, and you got a pretty good amount. Whether it was real or not, you got a pretty good amount.
And I have a feeling we'll get more as the season progresses, just because it's like it's Mania and they're so protective of what goes on at Mania. I think that we're not going to see, you know, it's like you're not going to see, you know, Taker and Punk walking around. You're not going to see Hunter and Brock walking around on the show, just because they're going to kind of protect those images. But at the same time, it's like I think as the show progresses, we will see more at the backstage and kind of what goes on. Like, for example, to go into the preview, you have Eva Marie audition to be Fandango's dancer because, oh, she has a dance background. And she screws up, and she gets her butt chewed by Stephanie McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
Over something. We're going to have...
The one thing I can tell you, you're probably not going to see outside of any times where those particular characters interact with each other, is them planning the matches beforehand.
Oh, no.
That type of stuff is not going to be covered.
No.
Unless it's involving those groups directly.
Well, even they didn't show the dress rehearsal at all. So I don't think we're going to get to see them.
Involved Brodus and all that. If you have, say, Funkadactyls versus the Bellas, then you'll see bits of it.
Right. We're going to get the mention of rehearsal, but we're never going to see it.
Right.
So the preview is, you know, she screws up with the Fandango. Actually, the next week's episode is called A Tango with Fandango. And it says, Diva in training, Eva Marie tries to fast-track her way up the WWE ladder. The Bella Twins vacation with John Cena and Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, and here's where I kind of want to go off a little bit.
All right, let me finish the other thing. And Trinity and Ariane deal with a wardrobe malfunction. Now you can go off.
Okay. So based on this preview, it's, okay, John Cena, Daniel Bryan, and the Bells get on a private jet, and they go off somewhere. Great. Fantastic. It's awesome. There's a quote in the preview where John Cena says, I want to take you to my house, and I want to introduce you to my family.
Right.
Which, for a girl or a guy, if you take your girlfriend or your boyfriend to meet your family, that's a big deal. It's an indication that somebody is wanting to get serious. So he's attempting to step up the relationship by wanting her to meet his family. To which I then go, how in the hell has she not met his family in the past? They are there every time they're in Boston or close to Boston. His mother went with him to the Hall of Fame at least 2 years ago, I know, and possibly last year.
And his father is always there.
Okay. They're talking the difference between meeting in a casual sense versus meeting in the relationship sense.
No, there is no difference, because I've met people's parents before I was dating them, and it was more of, oh yeah, by the way, we're dating now. And it's, oh cool. It's once you meet somebody's family, it's like you don't necessarily get to do the do-over. It's kind of, oh yeah, by the way, we're dating now, more kind of thing. I mean, the impression that they're giving, especially with her reaction to it, is this is her first time meeting his family. Ever.
It could also be, as well.
It could also be that...
That's the other thing.
I don't understand with all the chances that she could have had prior with how involved his family is, especially in his life, how that has not happened. Especially if they're really good friends.
You know, that's the thing. We don't know whether this is going to be one of those scripted moments or whether this is an actual legit moment. Because
it's totally scripted.
Either way is possible.
It's possible, and it's a nice hook.
Yeah, it's a nice hook. It's basically, well, is she... What is Mom going to say? Because it's all... When it comes to guys and dating, or at least most guys I've met in dating, it's all about what their mom thinks about the girl.
Oh, of course.
Because if Mom doesn't approve, well, then you got a problem.
Mm-hmm. Gotta get past the mama. And once that is...
Do we want to put bets now that they end this season with John proposing to Nick?
Yes.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. I'm saying Brian proposes to Bree.
Maybe both.
Going back to our double wedding theory.
Yeah. Then they can have a double wedding, and then, you know, we can...
Season 2 will be all about planning the double wedding.
Pretty much. This is what I want. And King Kittens was on the phone when we had this conversation, because this was after our botched card game. Totally cruel.
No, it was on the real card game.
Oh, was it on the real card game? Mm-hmm. Okay, so the real card game, my bad. It's totally cruel, but I want to be on Twitter, if this happens, the moment John Cena proposes to Nikki Bella. I want to see the fangirls implode. I need to see this happen. I have witnessed it years ago when Taker brought his wife on TV. I was a part of that implosion. I now want to see it from the outside looking in. Because I'm sure the implosion has already started with him, you know, basically shattering everybody's illusions in the fact that, oh yeah, he's officially off the market. Officially, in quotations.
Right.
You know, so it's like, that's going to disillusion a lot of people, where it's like, some people are like, oh yeah, I'm so happy for them, and then inside they're like, I'm going to kill her, kind of thing. So yeah, it's just, it's like, if that happens, I want to be on Twitter for it.
I agree.
But one thing I want to get into, and I know we're running long, but before we kind of wrap, one thing I'd like to talk about is Natty. Mm-hmm. Because
what, you mean whipping bitch?
Yeah, pretty much. Where it's like, everybody else seems to have a partner. You know, you have the two newbie divas, you have the Funkadactyls, and you have the Bellas, and then there's just Natty, who's sort of the third wheel to everybody, and she's that kind of awkward third wheel, and they're sort of making her out to be the ultimate face in this, which they're now playing on TV with the whole ugly duckling scenario. And we know the season is going to build to Natty's wedding.
Right.
So it's going to be kind of interesting how this all plays into...
Even look at the way she's portrayed in the season preview. No mention of the wedding. No mention of anything. The only thing we really get to see about Natty is her complaining about Tyson. We don't even get to see Gizmo.
Oh, we'll probably see Gizmo.
We'll get Gizmo probably.
Well, I know, but I want preview saying, here's Gizmo.
We'll get Gizmo.
I've seen too many pictures of Gizmo. Gizmo's cute.
Gizmo's awesome. But yeah, it's kind of one of those things where they're basically making her out to the ultimate face and sort of what happens at her wedding kind of thing. Because as we saw in the preview, it looks like the bachelorette party got a little wild.
One Bella had too much to drink.
Just a bit.
Yeah.
Yes, the girls did go nuts when Randy Orton got divorced. I'm surprised it wasn't trending on Twitter.
It might have been, we just didn't see it. So anyway.
So
I think we're done talking about at least this week's episode. We are either going to review it here on the rack, or we may do a podcast after the fact and release it for download only. We haven't decided yet. We'll figure that out in the next week or so. But yes, at least tune in here now for Total Divas Talk, because we'll probably be talking about it every week.
Yeah, we'll probably be doing it on the show if we have time.
If we have time.
If not, me and Lindsay will probably sit down and record a quick podcast about our thoughts on the show.
Yes. And for anybody else that wants to join in. So, we're going to start wrapping up the show for the evening, because we've gone way long, so sorry about that.
Quickly, question of the night. What is your favorite victory celebration, Mace?
I'll be honest, don't really care about the victory celebration. It's always been reserved usually for the guys at the end of the night who win, and even then, you really just, 9 times out of 10, see John Cena raising a title over his head. So, I've never really been a fan, so I don't exactly have a favorite.
Lindsay.
I'm going to go what everybody thinks I'm going to go. Taker.
Exactly. Taker kneeling down. Big pose.
The tongue,
of course. I say Austin's beer bash.
That's a good one.
We had a couple for Austin. We had one for CM Punk's celebration when he won the Money in the Bank. But yeah, Austin beer bash. That's one of the all-time classic celebrations.
So you really can't go wrong with it.
No, you really can't. Then you also have Kane in this pyro.
Yeah.
It doesn't compare to Taker or Austin.
People like explosions.
They do.
Well, Kane's pyro isn't necessarily tied to him winning. He usually does it when he wins, but he also does it when he has a mad.
It's
kind of sort of not, I wouldn't classify it really as a victory celebration.
Okay. But yeah, Taker and Austin, they're usually the main two.
Because they're the most memorable, and honestly, they're the really only two that have a quote-unquote celebration now.
Right.
Most of the other people are like, yay, I won!
This is true. Anyway, now we need to wrap this show up.
Yes, now we need to wrap this show up. So, Mace, you have things to plug, yes?
Follow me at the Mace Thing. Check in the archive area, my interviews from PAX are up. Other than that, hopefully at some point when Omega and I can get our schedules together, we might return and start playing games.
Fantastic. And tune in for Cards Against Humanity, which Rock's going to tell you all about, right?
Yes, Cards Against Humanity, 10 p.m. Eastern-ish, Saturday night, right before midnight-ish, CB Radio with myself, Rob Parks, and Subway Weird, Wacky, and the Unusual. It's craziness. It's CB Radio. You know, it's what you expect. Sunday night is WTR Sunday night with Mace, Omega, and Tim. They'll be back together again for all their fun, happy stuff. Talking about the week in pro wrestling, 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night, Raw post show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. As of now, there may not be a post show this week. We're not 100% certain at this point. So just stay tuned. But we might do something. Anyway, Tuesday night's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik at 9 p.m. Eastern. He'll be talking to Scrap Iron Adam Pierce and Tully Blanchard. Tune in at 9 p.m. Eastern. Wednesday night, it's Cheap Heat Radio, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Ring of Honor, not Rushmore. So send them into all the GP Radio stuff. We'll be back Thursday night for another edition of the Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, and whatever outlet we have. Follow us on Twitter at WildTalkRadio, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, WTRProductions.net. Lindsay.
Alright, well, you can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWard. You can go to my website, psychworddesigns.com. Check it out. Brand new layout. It's awesome. Go to my Behance, behance.net/LinsWard, and of course, linsward.deviantart.com. All of it has my artwork. You can go check it out. Most of it is the same, so they're all interchangeable, but go look anyway. And of course, go to our fine sponsors, pwmania.com, videolane.com, and of course, tnaasylum.com, the haven for TNA fans. Check them out. They're all amazing. Thank you so much for supporting us. We love you guys. Check out Matt Goldberg's brand new episode of CCW out now. youtube.com/mbg...
1211.
1211, thank you. I always mess up his name. Sorry, Matt. So, for Mace, who had to leave us a little bit early for Rock, I am Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will talk to you later. Bye! Be believers, be leaders, be astronauts, be champions, be truth seekers, be students, be teachers, be politicians, be preachers, be believers, be leaders, be astronauts, be champions.